Morning, dickhead.
Hello, moron.
What's poppin', everybody? Happy Monday, right?
Woo!
Yippee.
Yes, sir. I've added a really shitty back to all my recent woes.
Fun.
Ugh.
What'd you do?
I fell off the bed and slept on the floor for a while.
What?
I know. Don't ask. I don't know what the hell happened. But it's been pretty bad for about 3 days. 4 days, actually. Trudy noticed it Thursday night. But not enough to cancel. Not that bad.
You have something in common with Charlotte. She fell off the bed last night, too.
Oh, did she?
Yeah.
Well, I empathize with her.
And now all day she just goes, I hurt my knee. It's like, no, you didn't.
Bang!
My elbow hurts. So if she did it so much today, it just became, if there's not blood, we don't want to hear about it. She's just trying to get sympathy.
That little angel.
She's been a terror the last week.
Yeah, she's messing with your sleep lately. That's really over the line.
You don't even know the half of how bad it is.
I get a feeling it's pretty bad.
It's pretty bad. Nothing like being up for 3 hours in the middle of the night for no reason.
Well, hearing McCartney's opening little instrumental here, Mama Miss America, reminds me the Beatles channel kicked off Thursday on Sirius. I forgot to mention it on Thursday's broadcast. It's been pretty cool having it in the car.
Yeah.
I think they're doing a good job. Have you heard it much?
A little bit, yeah. Yesterday we were driving around. And every song I heard was a Beatles song, unlike, you know, the Tom Petty channel or the Pearl Jam channel where they have other bands.
Just, you know what?
Just smart. I mean, I expect them to.
Well, if you listen for a while, though, you will hear solo material.
You will. Okay.
Plenty. I mean, some good songs, too. I forget how many solo, you know, between the four of them.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about that, how many bands split up and all four people? Ringo has about 10 songs, I think, that are worth hearing. George has quite a few. McCartney has some real uneven albums throughout his career, but there's always a couple good tracks on them. So just hearing those, I think they've gone a little too deep into the solo catalog myself.
Oh.
Yeah, like they had something off that album McCartney did in 2016 or 2013.
Wow.
There's one good, really good track on that album, and it's not the one they were playing.
Do they play like
two good songs.
Their friends or their idols songs? Like, do they play Chuck Berry or Harry Nilsson? Do they do things like that?
No, but they have played, okay, back in 60, 61 when they were in Hamburg, they used to play a few songs that were covers, and they play the originals of those songs because they do play the recordings they have of them playing stuff like Boney Maroney. And I think, we don't need to hear the original guy doing Boney Maroney. Who gives a fuck?
Oh, man.
So I think there's a few misfires. They're playing covers of Beatles songs, which I think is kind of neat.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they drop in also celebrity, you know, Letterman tells a story about interviewing Paul and Ringo.
Well, that's kind of neat.
Which, you know, just stuff like that. I think they're doing a pretty good job, actually.
Hmm.
But it is nice. I mean, their music. It's funny how their solo music mixes so well with the band's music, generally, if you use the right songs. So it's kind of Channel 18 on Sirius. Something besides Howard on Sirius.
I put it on, and we were driving in the car, and Twist and Shout was on, and Julie goes, "This is the Beatles?" Yeah, yes, it is. Are you that surprised? And she goes, "Ah, no wonder I don't like it." She does not like the Beatles at all.
That's funny.
And I'm trying to explain to her that there's basically a transformation that happened with them.
Well, I think that's why most people do like the Beatles, because they either like the early Beatles.
I don't like the early Beatles.
Or they like the later Beatles.
I don't like the "I Want to Hold Your Hand" time. I don't like that early stuff.
There are a few songs from that period I could do without. But there's a lot of songs that aren't, you know, as far as like bubblegummy, poppy, boy band songs, they're pretty damn good. From that period.
I don't have a problem with it. She does.
Twist and Shout, by the way, she's partially right because I think the Isley Brothers wrote it.
Yeah.
But the Beatles, Beatles made it number one
in
64. It was a close. They closed with it on their tour.
Not to mention Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, that's
danced
right.
Danced to it during that big rain.
I think it was on the charts, too.
Really?
It re-entered the charts in 86, I believe.
Oh, there's a funny story. I got to see if I can find it about one of our listeners posted it on one of the Facebook fan page about Mr. Brightside by the Killers.
Oh, great song.
And
I love that
how
song.
Much it charts still in Britain today.
Oh, really?
It's UK on charts, the charts today.
Their charts are very strange. There's a lot of songs that they go on and off the charts, and years later they come back for some reason. Like, they'll re-release it because it's in a movie or whatever. Ever since I started doing Today in Rock, I'm finding all these bizarre phenomenons on the UK charts.
It's why that, though?
I don't know. It's not that old a song.
It's been on the charts every year since 2004.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that song? That song is 13 years old.
13 years later, it's still on the charts.
No shit. It is a great song. Okay, I was kind of grappling today with what to do on the show, just because, I mean, there's stuff going on, but my back was bugging me, and it just, I don't know, I just wasn't really into it. And so I got here, and I realized, you know, I didn't even read today's paper thoroughly, so I got the front page out and started going through it. And all of a sudden, bam, two things just hit me right in the nose. One is this story.
What story?
It's a front page story about the defense in the genital mutilation case.
Oh, boy.
This pisses me off. First of all, I can't believe there's support for this.
I don't find it. It's not that much support, is it?
There's some First Amendment people who feel like it's part of freedom of religion, and they're comparing it to circumcising little boys.
It's not how it works, though. I mean, you could have human sacrifice as part of your religion. You're still not allowed to murder people.
No, and I'm sorry, but a 7-year-old girl having an adult mess around with the genitals of a 7-year-old girl is a little different than circumcising a couple-day-old boy.
Well, yeah, makes it look better.
Sure does. I mentioned what a great job my guy did. I'm telling you, suckers taught.
Oh, gross.
Sorry.
I don't care.
There's something wrong with having pride in your circumcision?
Yes.
I did a good job. Get that doctor's name. Like to see the list. We should all have a party. Celebrate.
Are the tuggers part of the support for the female?
No, I haven't seen mutilation. Anything about, have not seen anything about tuggers.
They are well organized. I would think they'd be down there supporting.
You know, if you search on tuggers, you'll find plenty.
No thanks.
This looks great.
But they do. They talk about how, first of all, male circumcision. There are medical reasons that are given for it. There are health benefits.
Yeah, it looks better.
Helping prevent disease. Well, of course, the cosmetic reasons, obviously. Cleanliness, by comparison, there's no good medical reason for female genital cutting.
Ugh.
And I'd say the more you read the story, the more pissed I get. You just don't have people touching kids' genitals when they're 7 years old just for the hell of it.
Nope.
I don't care if it's religion. This is America. This is not a crazy fucking place where people do shit like that or where women can't drive.
Oh, yeah.
Or people have to ask their son's permission to fly or what have you.
Or you have to have a separate entrance into McDonald's.
Yeah, I saw. Oh, you saw the same story I did.
Yeah, and
can you believe that goes on? Can you believe people, that women opt to be part of that religion?
No, but what do you do if you're born in Saudi Arabia and you're born into that religion? You don't know any better.
I guess not.
How about
you know, there are people that come here and they continue to live in that tradition.
Not to get too far off the story, but did you see the Toby Keith concert there?
Oh,
I think it was Toby Keith.
That was part of the same story, wasn't it?
It was another story of Trump's.
Wait, women can't go, right?
No, it was all dudes.
Right.
Can you imagine going to a concert of all dudes?
Yeah, Sausage Fest. Every show's a Sausage Fest.
Thanks, man.
I mean, women are one of the best part about going to a concert.
Exactly. They get to show off. And
okay, why can't women go to a concert? Did they say?
No, they didn't say. They just said, by the way, it was all dudes.
You want to do a search on that, Jay?
Yeah. I think it was Toby. I don't know. Country artists.
What the? Anyway,
I don't get it.
As the story goes on, and I think part of it is that the writer is trying to give a balanced story, so they're trying to give the
I don't understand why you do a balanced story this way. You can't make it look like both sides are equal in a story like this because they're not.
Well, I agree. The way I see this, This is just not, you just don't do that here. We don't do that in America. I don't care what your religion is. I don't care what you bring over here. There's certain way, there's certain assimilations that have to be made. And I know we've certainly had discussions about that before, but this is one that is non-negotiable. You don't fuck around with some little girl's genitals. I don't care if you want a little membrane for a celebration.
By the way, it's not, it's not.
You're angry.
It's not just the United States. This isn't just a U.S.
No, it's not.
On many, many countries.
And they get into that, too, according to the World Health Organization, UNICEF, and the U.N. Population Fund. They give the reasons for it. Sociological and cultural reasons, where the procedure is seen as part of the girl's initiation into womanhood and a key part of the community's culture. No. No, we don't have adults touching girls' genitals and cutting them up for whatever reason. And then, by the way, they're trying to, there's a lot of cover-up going on here. They're trying to act as if, oh, it's just this little membrane that we take off and bury as part of this nice little celebration, which, by the way, sounds pretty stupid to me. I don't care what religion it is. It sounds dumb.
Most kind of are dumb.
They sort of imply, yeah, true.
I'm Catholic and I've done them and been on them.
Second reason, sexual control, with the goal being to curb a woman's sexuality to avoid premarital sex or having affairs once she's married.
You monsters!
Social norm, the pressure to conform and not be rejected by a community is a big motivator for genital mutilation. You know, that one right there really bothers me because it kind of implies that the only, and this is one thing that bothers me about this sect, is that this sect really is, they're their own world, and they don't really care about the rest of the world and what the rest of the world thinks. And in fact, if you were part of a larger community, there would be no pressure because the larger community doesn't do this. Yep. But in this little world, you know, you're a real ass if you don't do this. You're a slut, I guess. Hygiene. In some communities, the female genitalia are considered dirty and ugly and removed for hygiene or aesthetic reasons. That's great. Huh. Then religion. Although genital cutting is not endorsed by any religion, some believe the practice has religious support and is a religious requirement, as do the Dawoodi Bawra.
And your sect has a stupid name.
And for Maria Tayer, who grew up in the Dawoodi Bawra community and underwent genital cutting, the religious argument for the procedure has no basis. Neither does the "it's just a nick" philosophy, which, by the way, sounds like a big fat lie. They keep throwing that argument that we are not mutilating, and she goes on to say that that's not the truth. And a lot of the women who are in their 20s and 30s say there are issues with this.
All a lie.
The "hey, it's no big deal" defense.
Yeah. Well, you know, and they've got they're going after all the people in this, including the doctors and the person who owns the clinic, too, who allows us to go on there and apparently knew the people, the adults who hold the girl's hand. Oh, why are you holding their hand if it's just a little nick? What's that all about? One of the doctors has been fired from Henry Ford.
Good.
Yeah, I was glad, too. If a doctor thinks it's okay to just mess around with some 7-year-old's genitals, I'm surprised that we don't have some kind of a, I mean, you could easily make a sexual charge of some kind in here, too. Child abuse or, what's the word I'm looking for? Sexual assault. I mean, you are messing with.
Yeah.
What is the charge exactly?
I don't know what the test is for sexual assault. Do you have to, I don't know, get gratification from it?
I guess. I don't know. Probably.
Molestation or something?
Yeah.
It's worse than molestation.
Well, yeah, but I mean, just.
Yeah, right. It's not. You're right. There's no sexual. By the way, I don't think there is.
Sidebar: did you watch SNL?
Yeah, I did.
The contest for the most evil mad scientist.
Oh, you know what? I only got 50 minutes through it. I don't know. I usually stop watching after the news, and I know I shouldn't because occasionally that 5-1 skit is hilarious.
They had two really good ones after that, but it was just this goofy little a contest to see who made the most evil weapon over the last year for all these mad scientists.
Uh-huh.
So the first guy makes a shrinking gun to shrink things. The next lady makes a freeze gun to freeze things. And The Rock shows up. His name's Roy. He's really not a mad scientist.
Uh-huh.
But he makes some child molesting robot. And of course the joke is they're all appalled at this guy for being, he's like, it sounds like I won. He's totally clueless the whole thing. I don't know, I just thought it was pretty edgy, but pretty funny, man. Roy. And of course, the one guy keeps asking him questions, and he's like, this guy gets it. He knows what I'm talking about. Why do you keep saying that? Oh, all right. Sorry. It was a good episode. The beginning was kind of stupid.
I love the wrestling one with The Rock.
Yeah, they've done that before.
Bobby Monahan, that was hilarious.
See, there was another sketch later I thought that. Oh, you know, Vanessa Bayer is leaving.
Yeah.
Who I really like, but 7 years, they kind of push him away. But Moynihan's leaving too, so they weren't a lot. But she did a sketch with The Rock where she was in, like, an old-time actress.
Mm-hmm.
And she keeps making mistakes while they're filming, and it's just a string of farts. I'll cue it up if you want to see it. I don't know. That made me laugh. Those two sketches I thought were the
yeah, two. Sure. Cue it up.
Oh, you do? You can
just most evil invention.
You can just. I mean, I set it up. I kind of ruined it, but you can just jump forward to where The Rock comes out, or should I say Roy?
It was. I thought it was a pretty good episode, actually. You know what I thought?
Yeah.
One of the more disappointing things in that episode was Katy Perry's first song just sucked.
You know, like the backpack kid dancing?
Ugh.
I kept doing that dance.
Yeah, that was kind of cool.
I kept doing that dance today. how's he doing with the...
Yeah, with his hands.
What a stupid...
It was pretty wacky. It was watchable, but the song was terrible, I thought.
Both songs.
And her hair looks terrible. Why does she look awful?
Because
she looks
cut her
unattractive.
Yeah. The cold open was stupid, though.
I know. What is it with Hallelujah? Jesus. Well, too many people covered already.
I assume they're making fun of... I hope they're making fun of themselves for doing it. Oh, this tape piece was pretty good with Vanessa Bayer. To distract her with Cartier. The spin
oh,
the
yeah.
new toy.
Yeah. No, I thought it was a good episode. I really did.
Play Roy.
There's the wrestlers.
Thank you. Supposed to be the
Rock looks funny with wigs on.
The most evil invention.
Hi, Mom. My name is Roy, and I for the most evil
hair.
Invention in the world contest, I invented a child molesting robot.
I beg your pardon. What?
I'm sorry. I'll speak up. It's a robot that is designed to molest children. And I call it Robo Chomo. You see, it's powered by solar rechargeable fuel cells, and it costs pennies to manufacture. And it can, theoretically, molest twice as many children as a human molester in, quite frankly, half the time. Do I win the contest? Seems like I win.
Oh, my God.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? My most evil idea was a blizzard in July.
Right. Well, I went in a slightly different direction with the assignment.
You built a mechanical sex predator!
Yes, yes, yes. That's exactly right. This guy gets it. You get it.
Oh, my God. No, I don't.
How do you even build a child-molesting robot?
Well, that's a great question. What you do is you start by building a regular robot, then you molest it and hope that it continues the cycle.
Dear Lord Almighty.
That's the most hideous thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, well, thank you very much. You see, the shrink guy is with me all the way.
Stop saying that!
You know, I want to remind you guys that in Webster's Dictionary, defines evil as profoundly immoral.
We know what evil means.
Well, it doesn't seem like you do, because you built a freeze ray. I mean, Benito Mussolini used to force-feed people castor oil until they literally died of diarrhea. I mean, that's got to be with a GoPro, right? Am I crazy?
They run into a little problem. They don't know how to end this sketch now.
Okay, well, I think we're...
Yeah, that happens.
Angry.
All right. Very good. I just realized I got so into my criticism of this stupid... female genital mutilation. I forgot to do the stop set.
Oh!
Here in the DealsInTheD.com studios. So let me get caught up. Here's Ott Ford. And Holly has one word for you. Trucks, trucks, trucks. Almost 150. That's how many Zot Ford has available. This is fresh coffee, by the way. Fresh off the press. From Stephen Guevara. That's how many Zot Ford has available. 150. That's way more than one word. But who the hell is counting? More? Oh, I see. Trucks, trucks, trucks. Ah, see, I can catch on as I read, too. More excitingly, lease a new 17 Ford F-150 XLT Crew Cab 4x4 at just $199 a month. Yes, the number one selling truck on the planet can be yours for under $200 a month. And you have almost 150 to choose from, only from your friends at Zot Ford and DealsInAD.com. Our friends at Zot Ford need your help. They're in the middle of a massive sales contest for the month of May. Help them win by buying or leasing a new Ford Focus, Fusion, Taurus, or any Transit van. Yes, Transit van.
Sweet.
As seen in the chase. During this contest, buy a new 17 Ford Focus for $13,000, or lease a new 17 Ford Fusion for as low as $118 a month. Better yet, an agile 17 Ford Transit van for more than 20% off sticker. Surf their filthy deals and massive inventory at DealsInAD.com. And I think he's working on some sort of a contest where we have dinner with some lucky Zot Ford customer.
Oh, cool.
I know he asked, and we agreed to do it.
No way.
I assume it's coming. Or he blew it off. I don't know. I don't think so. Knowing Guevara, I think we're going to dinner with somebody.
We're going Subway?
I don't know yet. Maybe we can check out those
Subway.
Those crack fries at Hopcats. What Woody's has done.
Yeah.
In Royal Oak.
Yeah, they took it over.
I was surprised to see that. Was Woody's over?
I couldn't tell you the last time I went to Woody's.
Well, maybe that's the problem.
But that used to be the place in the late 90s.
Oh, my God,
2000s.
Yeah. Such a great, I mean, it's just a perfect bar with the three floors and everything.
That was across the street from Fifth Avenue, and that's where Cornell played that private show.
Yeah.
And everybody
probably
posted.
The last time I was there.
Everybody we know that was at that show posted the photo that they got with Cornell.
Oh, no kidding.
And no joke from, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, yours is 4, 5, 6 people plus mine, 7 people. He stood like this in every picture.
Wow.
And in the same spot. So my memory of him not moving while they just moved that cattle through to take a picture is 100% correct.
Well, it was uncanny how much he looked the same in our pictures, but I didn't see the other pictures.
I'll show you the other 6 later. He is exactly the same in every photo, just right arm crossed holding left elbow.
Yeah, more on that in just a sec here. Facing divorce or custody issues, you need ADAM, the American Divorce Association for Men. ADAM, protecting men's rights in divorce and custody matters for nearly 30 years. For so long, there was nobody doing this. Visit them on the web and read some of the reviews from satisfied clients with phrases like professional, accessible, responsive attorneys. They put me at ease and really cared about my case. Well, they're supposed to do that, damn it. They saved me from losing everything I'd worked for. That's what you like to hear. Call ADAM, let them educate and guide you through this difficult process. Call ADAM at 248-356-2326. That's 356-ADAM. 248-356-ADAM or on the web at adamdivorcelaw.com.
I think Adam Wiener's or Anthony Wiener's going to be checking in with Adam.
Yeah, that would be a that would be a great challenge for Adam, wouldn't it? Yeah, he got served with papers the day he went to court for the
Carlos Danger,
15-year-old.
Carlos Danger.
I know what a.
And Sydney Leathers broke her silence on Friday.
You know, I saw her on TV, and they didn't even mention her porn career.
No, I know. She was probably bummed they didn't mention her porn career.
Is her porn career still rolling, or is she done already?
I don't know. I think she just did the one video.
Oh, is that all?
Yeah. The accordion video, as you described it.
Yeah. I thought she was a player. I thought she was really getting off, which made me like it a little bit. I mean,
well, no, that makes
she's
you
not
like,
that hot, yeah. I admit.
Yeah, I mean, the fact that she's into it's good.
Yeah, I thought that was
she
cool.
Feel like she's not just doing it for the money, but she's not terribly attractive.
No, she's
except
not.
For that tree tattoo.
Sure. That's right. I forgot about that. That is so bad. God, when a tattoo is that bad and it's that big,
yeah.
It just, what were you thinking about?
I don't know.
But she's not a big thinker.
Wiener's only, or Danger's only going to be in prison for, 2 years? So it's, you know, it's. I guess that's why.
Did he know the girl was 15? Does it matter?
I don't know.
It just seems like a lot of people could get busted for that, doesn't it?
Yeah. I would assume maybe it doesn't matter.
It might not. Which is kind of scary.
How are you supposed to know?
Not that I'm sexting any 15-year-olds. Or
are you fully erect?
But you could get catfished.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think about that quite a bit.
How are you more than 7 inches?
Ooh, that just reminded me. I saw this movie on Amazon called Holy Hell.
Yeah.
Heard about it?
It's about a cult. It's a religious sect. Yeah.
What a movie.
Is it good?
Oh, my. Yeah, it's really good. This guy was an actor. He has like basically he says he's in Rosemary's Baby. It's just they show his face for like 2 seconds. Okay. That's all he does in Rosemary's Baby. He became a psychotherapist at some point, or either that or claimed to be. I think I may have not paid a great deal of attention the first 20 minutes or so, but it got real interesting, and then I was really into it. Basically, he got all these people, and this was, what year was this? Like late 80s, I believe, or mid 80s, got all these people to join. They renounced their families, which, you know, as soon as someone says you can't see your parents, something's terribly wrong. I mean, no organization, I don't care if it's Scientology or who it is, there's no reason you should be renouncing your family. In many cases, these people were close to their parents. I mean, it was really sad, actually. And this guy, I don't know what, they claim that in psychotherapy, he learned all their weaknesses and he preyed on them.
Sounds just like Scientology.
Very much so. And reminded people, and when people would tell him that they were thinking about leaving, he would say, well, you'll be dead in a year of AIDS. Or, well, it's like a gay one. He would say, you'll be dead in a year of AIDS. Or, you know, based on what he knew about them, he would say something horrible was going to happen. And they just believed in this guy. They loved him. And, of course, it turns out, he has plastic surgery constantly, by the way.
Oh, boy.
And he's super muscly, super built, because all he does is work out and do psychotherapy with these members and keep them down, basically. They moved to Austin, Texas, and somebody bought him this big property and built this big house. And this one guy, because he was a ballet dancer, said, I want to build, what was his name, Andreas, I think? I think his name was Andreas for that cult. He's got a new name now because he's got a new cult in Hawaii. And so this guy said, I want to build a theater for Andreas. So he starts building it, and he'd say, hey, come on, I want to show what we did. And he would invariably say, oh, that sucks. Tear it down. Start over.
Oh, did that power, big power play.
Yeah, kept doing it over and over and over. It took the guy like 2 years to build the thing, but they got this thing built.
Did Andreas ever get to dance?
Yes, Andreas did. They did amazing performances. Actually, some people looked at it and thought it was pretty good, some of the ballet and some of the productions they did, but they only were seen by the group. They practiced for like a whole year just to do it one time for the group.
Well, you should be thanking the leader, because clearly making him rebuild it showed his dedication to it. And really forced him to put on a good show.
It was so weird. It was just so strange. I just couldn't. How could this? It goes on for 22 years.
You said he went to Austin and then went to Hawaii. So he's still.
He has a new cult in Hawaii. He's got this compound by this beautiful beach in Hawaii. And what happened was at the 22 year mark, I think there are about 200 people. And I assume they give their worldly possessions to this guy, or they gave him their money, or they must have had some really rich people, because we were really confused about the financial part. They didn't really get too much into that, but they had plenty. They had plenty of property, and they seemed to live pretty well, and they all worked out. They're all good-looking, too. That's something else. Wow, everybody's so good-looking. And in the 22 years of this cult, not one woman had a child.
Really?
Yeah, which I thought was very strange. It turns out, though, that he had advised some of the women to get abortions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, that really cuts into your bottom line when you're a cult.
I guess so.
Just ask the family.
I didn't understand that until, as it got near the end, spoiler alert. I don't want to hear this.
He's God.
Really riveting movie.
he's really Jesus Christ.
Now, this girl left, and when she left, she circulated a memo to everyone that said, he's been coercing all the young males into gay sex, the ones that are gay and the ones that aren't gay. And so what do you know? Some guys are going, he had sex with me. This one guy said he got psychotherapy every Monday for 5 years, and he would anally rape him.
That's not what psychotherapy is.
At the end of the session. Every Monday. And he paid him $50 for the session.
Oh, nice.
Paid $50 so this guy could boo-foo him every Monday for 5 years.
Why did he keep going back?
This guy just
had the pull.
He had the power. Had the power of these people.
Yeah. Ain't enough.
What's with cults being, like, gay?
I don't know. I would have thought the girls would have.
Jonesy was.
Jonesy. Jonesy, he was bi, though.
True. He banged the chicks. This guy not bi? Or is he just
no, he was just gay. Just gay. And these guys, too, would be interested in women in the cult, of course. And he would say, no, that would be destructive if you got with her. That'd be terrible. And it turns out, oh, he's boofooing the guy. So that's why he won't let him go out with that girl. And he would not go out with her.
Well, so were any of the guys in the cult gay?
Yeah, two. Two guys and one guy was bi.
So they didn't mind.
Yeah, I don't even think they liked it that much.
Well, I guess if he's raping them, yeah, they wouldn't like
it. Yeah, it didn't sound like
it wasn't consensual.
It sounded like a pretty much a one-way sexual streak to me.
Oh, God. What a creep.
I don't think anybody was in his butt.
He's gay?
Yep.
Oh, so it's a Liberace Thorson scenario.
I thought about that.
Where it only goes one way.
I actually thought about that.
I know I bring it up a lot, but that amazes me that it only went one way.
I know.
You're always told that. No, you're not, you're versatile. Everybody that's gay is versatile.
There was a story, I'm sure you probably saw it. The Sun had it, but it was other places. Not, it was just the, no, not the Sun. The Daily Mail had it. About how there's research that says that people are born tops or bottoms.
I saw that, yeah. Yeah.
But that was kind of interesting. I don't know if many gay people agree with it. Didn't really pull anybody.
Yeah. What do you think Holy Hell got on Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm going to say it got a 92.
Critics only gave it a 71.
What?
Yeah,
but the viewers, what did the viewers get?
75.
What?
That's good. I think that's good.
Well, I thought it would get higher. I really did. But I really like documentary type movies, and that's it's kind of what this was. This guy had such an ego that he loved being filmed, mm-hmm. and so this one guy filmed a lot of stuff, so he had tons of film of this. And then, of course, they interviewed people.
So he was in it? Was he in the cult if he had all this footage?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. And he got boo-fooed, too.
Oh, cool. Did they have film of that?
No, not that. But, you know what?
But there's a but to that?
He had, yes, he found clips of Andreas when his acting career went a little south. He did some porno.
Oh.
And he had some classic clips that were, they were black, stuff was blacked out.
Black
like
bar,
penises. Yeah. But they showed him.
So it was gay porn.
Yeah, it was gay porn. Oh. He was on the beneath this guy's penis, and this guy was doing like push-ups, and he was it was a very athletic BJ. I rewound and watched it again.
Like, sounds like a very exhausting BJ.
It did look like a lot of work.
I mean, working
to
out sucks enough. Imagine having to blow somebody.
It's the first time I've rewound and rewatched a guy giving a guy a BJ. It was kind of fascinating, I have to admit. And Andreas was doing the giving, which was unusual. That I think is what surprised me. Because I was like, whoa, he was on the bottom. What's going on there? And then so I had to see for myself.
Oh, so he wasn't doing the push-ups?
No.
Oh, no. I assumed the one doing the push-ups was giving.
No.
Oh. Huh.
No, it was the guy.
Okay.
He was like this. And the guy's lying on the ground with his head underneath his genitals.
Ew.
It's kind of wild. I think the director or the writer of that porn
very
movie
creative.
Did a good job.
Very creative.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, unique, I think before they started filming this, let's just try it. I got an idea. I know it sounds crazy. Let's just try it. We'll see how it comes out on film. And afterwards, they looked at a little monitor.
Yeah, it turned out pretty good.
I watched two rock documentaries this week.
Oh, did you? Which ones?
Well, I finally finished the Pet Sounds documentary.
Oh, God. I haven't watched that yet.
It's really good. It doesn't go too in depth in the making of the album,
mm-hmm.
But that album is so damn good that it's worth watching. Brian Wilson try to talk about the writing and the creativity behind it. I don't know. I was left
tried to talk about or did
well. He's just kind of weird, but in a genius sort of way. But they had some footage of him in the control room, but it was basically them just talking about how great the album was. The other one I watched, are you a Pixies fan? Did you like the Pixies?
Yeah, they were okay. They're all right.
I ran into a documentary on them, of the band coming back together in 2004. They had broken up for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
A real bad breakup. They just weren't getting along.
Wait, is that the band that played with Big Star, the remaining Big Star members? Was it the Pixies?
Well,
I think a couple of their members did.
Black Francis ended up putting stuff out as Frank Black. And this is how I got into it, because he covered "Hang On to Your Ego" as a solo, the Beach Boys song,
yeah,
Pet Sounds.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So he did that solo route, and then Kim Deal did the Breeders. Remember the band the Breeders?
Yeah, sure.
Cannonball and Saints. So kind of this bad split up. But the documentary picks them up getting back together to go on tour because they admit they needed the money. They didn't have much money anymore. The Breeders kind of stalled out. Frank Black couldn't get a record label to pick up his album. The main guitarist was scoring films. He had two kids now. Frank Black also just got divorced. In the course of the documentary, he's married and has a kid. Kim Deal is 1 year sober from drugs and alcohol, went to rehab. But the drummer was just doing magic, and he would scour the beaches with a metal detector. That was his life. So he really needed the money. They just weren't making money off the residuals from their...
That happens to much bigger bands, by the way.
Yeah.
Which amazes me. You figure, God, the writers at least would have these huge royalties.
You would think. And I think Charles, I think Frank Black or Black Francis, I think he's fine. I really do. But the other, and I would think Kim Deal would be okay, except the whole rehab thing. So when they go on tour in America, she's with her twin sister in an RV, who was also in the Breeders, and the rest of the band's on a bus because they just don't really get along. Like, nobody in the band seems to get along. They're in Europe. The drummer's dad gets cancer, and as he's returning home, dies. And totally throws him for a loop. So he starts taking Valium, and there's a scene of them playing a show where they're trying to wrap up a song, and he's just doing the same beat over and over and over. And the crowd is doing this. Charles got so pissed, he just left the stage. The lead singer just leaves the stage. And they're like, oh, we got to check out on these monitors and see what's going on. They confront him about his Valium. It's just a real wild ride of this band.
Is this a new documentary?
It's old. It's
I haven't seen that.
Yeah, I ran into it on YouTube. Vice's...
Do you know what it's called offhand?
Loud, Quiet, Loud.
I want to see that.
But it's good. It's one of those things that really hooked me in maybe after about 5 minutes.
I want to see that rock doc.
But I always liked that band. I didn't know much about them.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't know that much about them either. You know, The Who reunited in 2000. This is like 2002. They did a tour because John Entwistle was broke. Mm-hmm. And so they did a tour, and specifically, it was like the amount of dates were choreographed so that he would make $2 million. They figured, $2 million, he ought to be good. And sure enough, after the tour was over and a couple years went by, John was running out of money again. And I think that might have been the final tour he was on when he died. And he needed to make money. And Townsend did a couple tours because he was trying to raise money for this charity, and he didn't have enough of his own money to just lump a couple million bucks. See, to...
I would think they would have tons of money.
Townsend is a writer, and he's got all that solo material, yeah, too, that did fairly well.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know. I just have to believe.
You were telling me about that, and didn't they jokingly call the tour Make John Money Tour?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they were pretty open about it.
Well, the Pixies were, too. I think they called it the Pixies Sellout.
Oh, okay.
No intention of ever getting back together. And over the course of...
Did they at least enjoy doing the shows together? I mean, was there anything good about it besides the money?
I think when the drummer kind of scaled back his Valium addiction, they kind of enjoyed the shows. And they have a lot of show footage, which is really cool. But in the end... Oh, that was the other thing. Kim Deal, the bassist, no alcohol in the green room and the dressing room. So they were just like, okay. And you would see them off in another room just drinking before the show.
Hmm.
So they just weren't that cohesive of a group.
Yeah, they're all in different places. That's kind of tough.
Mm-hmm.
But so where are they now? What's going on?
She's out of the band. I think she left 2 years ago, and they have a new bassist. And they're still kind of playing. They put out some new music and released some other stuff. That tour made $14 million.
Wow.
So I don't know how much of that they got or they see. But the band is still cruising along without her. With a new bassist.
That reminds me of the funniest story, and I'm trying to remember what book this is in, but it has to do with Aerosmith and Aerosmith's drummer. God, I know that band. I just can't think of the drummer's name off the top of my head.
Is it Tommy?
Not Tom Hamilton. He's a bass player, I think.
Brad.
Joey Kramer. Yeah. Joey Kramer. At one point, goes to management and says, we are getting ripped off so bad. And they're like, what are you talking about? And he had multiplied the ticket price times the number of seats in the first, you know, like 10 shows of the tour.
Yeah.
And taken that total, and he thought that he should have had one-fifth of it. And he, you know.
What about costs?
Well, he
not
didn't.
To mention every ticket doesn't cost what it
is. He didn't consider any of that stuff. Or management taking their fee, or the promoter taking their fee.
Everybody got their hand in it.
Yeah, and so somebody had to sit him down and explain to him that, yeah, you are getting one-fifth
of what's left. Profit.
And I'm not sure that band does it all 20%, 20%, 20%. I think they do, actually, for touring, maybe. But, you know, these royalty stuffs, the royalty stuff always gets complicated as bands get older. I was listening to Howard. He had Chris Robinson on Tuesday or Wednesday, and Chris Robinson said, he and Rich Robinson, they don't even talk. They have kids that don't even see each other. They're cousins. They've never met. Yeah.
Why?
Because they're fighting over publishing.
Oh, God.
Because Chris did not want to split it down the middle with Rich anymore. I think that's the story.
And he openly admitted that?
Not really. He said it was about publishing, though. And Rich wrote a letter to Rolling Stone that really pissed him off. He said it was not true what he said. So, of course, I looked up the letter in Rolling Stone, which was about publishing. And it sounded like Chris Robinson wanted more than half. He didn't want to give Rich half. And he didn't want the drummer to get any publishing. And he wanted the drummer to be on salary. That's
Who wrote the songs?
Chris and Rich.
Okay. Well, so the drummer.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe he should be on salary.
Yeah, that's I've always wondered about that. You know, usually the guitar players work out their parts, and the drummer and the bass player tend to work out their parts. There are certain guys who say, I want this played this way, I want this played that way. That was one of, you know, George Harrison and Paul McCartney did not get along because McCartney wanted, he had every instrument pretty well determined, and, you know, Ringo and George didn't like that so much.
That's what was funny about the Beach Boys is how Brian had everything in his head and just goes into the Wrecking Crew and, you know, pretty much not bosses him around, but knows exactly what he wants and communicates it. And the guys come back from the road and like, what? Huh? And try to figure it out.
Oh, the band? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because they were out touring. But he was pretty open.
Well, and like the records are pretty damn good.
Yeah. Well, Al Jardine, I guess, is the one that pushed for Sloop John B. And so Brian's like, okay. And then the next day, he has this whole different arrangement of it as to what that's what it ends up on Pet Sounds.
Well, you know, Good Vibrations. Is Good Vibrations on Pet
Sounds? No, wait. No, it's funny you say that. I read about it afterwards because.
Is that a single that's not on an album?
It was supposed to be on his Smile album.
Oh, that's right.
The Mysterious Smile.
And he erased the tapes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then re-recorded them way later in life, post-Landy.
But Good Vibrations, post-Landy, but Good Vibrations, Landy has writing credits for a while.
I know.
Good Vibrations took 9 months to finish that song, and it was released, and it was a number one. It was a great song. And when the band heard it, they were like, what? This is kind of crazy. I don't know about this, Brian. They thought he'd lost his mind.
Yeah.
And Brian just said, nope, this is a masterpiece. This is maybe the best song I've ever done, and people are going to like it. And they okay. I think Mike Love rewrote a few of the words in there, so I think Mike Love is credited on it. But
Mike Love seems like a total square.
He has his moments for sure. He was a really good guy to interview, though. I liked talking to him. I thought
he's fine. He just seemed like open. A square.
Yeah, he was.
He's the one that had Brian change. Well, he suggested it to Brian. Brian's like, okay, but he had Brian change the "Hold On to Your Ego" to "I Know There's an Answer." Is that what it is officially on the album?
I'm not sure about that song.
That song's all about LSD.
Okay.
Great song.
Yeah, Brian, I mean, there's a period there in the mid-60s where Brian was really churning it out. I mean, that was an incredible pile of songs and the harmonies.
God Only Knows.
Yeah, I mean, that's a masterpiece. That's one of the greatest songs ever done as far as I'm concerned. So, a couple of other things I wanted to mention. I saw this story and I didn't really know what to make of it, and I decided that, okay, it's about, you know, Mitch Albom has the flavored ice thing or whatever?
I read it.
You read it, okay. And they're opening up in Franklin at the cider mill.
Yeah.
And I finally decided, you know what? I want to know, how does this guy get so much done? How is it that he writes 9 books a year does three plays, a couple movies, writes a column every, you know, three times a week, goes to Haiti to do it. Is he a real life Multiplicity? Are there six Mitch albums running around?
I hope not. I'm sure he'll write an article about how he does it.
Probably at some point. A lot of people have been asking, how do I do it?
It's just the drive you have inside.
I mean, honestly, does he have assistants who do all the work? How is this happening? Well, nobody does this much stuff.
Let's see, though. The radio show's 3 hours. Isn't much
time. The radio show. I forgot about the radio show.
Doesn't put much time into that. I think he's down at the ice store, what, twice a year for photo ops. He goes to Haiti once a month.
Is the quality of his work perhaps suffering?
Oh!
Maybe. I'm just asking. I'm really aware of it.
It takes like 5 minutes for him to write it out.
Radio ratings aren't too good.
Oh.
The newspaper, he wins the award every year. He's the best writer, I mean, what, 19 years in a row or something? If I was a writer, that would piss me off. It's one guy wins every year. That seems kind of crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it seems rigged.
And then when they show the article that won, I always go, really?
Yeah.
Hmm. This belongs in the sports section.
When you read the article on the water ice, whatever.
I kind of skimmed it. I didn't read the whole thing.
You didn't go read the comments?
Oh, no, I didn't. Thank you for reminding me.
There's not many because I don't think the story's been up very long.
Okay.
But the first one is, a treat for downtown coming to suburbia. We shall be honored to get this without having to drive all the way to downtown. It's safer for one thing. Whatever. Okay, you hate downtown Detroit. Great. The next one is the one I was looking for. A Mitch Albom ad disguises journalism. Nice.
I don't know. I think it's a fair question.
The reply to comment. You kill puppies, don't you? And he spelled puppies apostrophe S, so the original poster corrected his spelling to make it the plural.
I know, that really does hurt a point when you misspell something, when you take a real hard line and misspell something.
I know. And then the next
kind of a bummer.
The profits go to one of his many good things he does in Detroit.
Well, that's a standard comment. I think they put that underneath the story no matter what happens. There's somebody that just puts that in there.
Maybe one of the Multiplicity
Mitch albums. Somebody in the editorial staff.
We need to clone me again just to respond to comments.
Yes, exactly. I mean, if there's a real-life version of Multiplicity, of Michael Keaton in Multiplicity, it's got to be Mitch Albom.
Yeah, the guy's busy. Although he has his weekends free. He doesn't have to go to New York for the...
The TV show on ESPN. That was one day a week. You had to fly to New York to do that show.
So what does he really do? He does the radio show and writes a column once a month and goes to Haiti once a month?
Well, he's got a column at least. I mean, he's always got a Sunday column. Does he have a column during the week, too?
Mm-mm.
No?
If you go look, because, you know, he has a special header on the Free Press site.
Oh, of course.
And if you go to it, the last one is the one about the sports reporters. That was 2 weeks ago.
Oh. Well, have they reduced his salary in light of the lessened production? His favorite business is pretty tough these days.
Honestly, it looks like he does not write a column more than once a month, maybe twice a month.
They used to always say, now I always heard this, that his column is one of the reasons people buy the paper, and I always wondered, is that really true? Are there really people that go, I have to see what Mitch Albom said? That is the voice of the average person that says that, by the way. I have to see what Mitch Albom has to say.
I'm sure it's not more.
I want to see what Mitch wrote.
Yeah.
What did Mitch say?
You mean all my sports from Mitch.
What's Mitch columns about? I get all my sports from Mitch.
Here's the Toby Keith story, by the way. Toby Keith will play an alcohol and women-free concert in Saudi Arabia. Coincides with Donald Trump's first overseas visit since taking office. Saudi officials are said to hope the concert and other events will impress Trump during his first stop overseas. American Country Stars concert is open only to men. An Arabian lute player is expected to perform.
Oh, that's gross.
Ooh.
Arabian lute player.
It's in Riyadh. Alcohol is banned.
Trying to make a Toby Keith concert worse. Socialize?
Yeah, unrelated men and women are not allowed to congregate in public places.
Why? Because the guys can't handle it?
Yeah, the guys would be too inclined to hit on the women.
Yeah. They want their boners pushing out forward.
Well, if you can't see a woman's arm hair or her head hair without getting a
giant
woody.
Yeah. Weird.
You know, I remember reading about Bin Laden, his sister-in-law, his brother's wife, he used to go to their house for whatever reason, and when she would answer the door, she would often not have a headscarf on, and he would just turn his head violently, and I think sometimes even spat on her.
What?
Yeah, he was so disgusted that she wouldn't. That she was such a slut that she wouldn't have her hijab on.
You saw Melania didn't wear a head covering, which is great.
No.
Which is great.
By the way, I saw Melania and Jared. It looked to me like they were walking towards the plane to fly to Saudi Arabia. Unless this was file footage of them getting on a plane, I think it was to go on this trip. And she was wearing a really tight dress.
Yeah, it was.
Really tight.
No, she looked good when she...
She looked really good. She looked a little too sexy for Saudi Arabia, though.
Well, you know, so she refused to wear the headdress, and Michelle Obama didn't wear it when they went to Saudi Arabia?
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think happened when Michelle didn't wear it?
Trump ragged on her, didn't he?
Big time, yeah. That's just why his Twitter's so stupid.
Well, I know. It's... Of course, everyone is looking up his old statements on everything, anything he says now. There's a record of him on it in the past. Which is a pain in the ass for him.
You saw them dancing with the swords. That looks like a fun dance.
Yes.
Rex Tillerson.
Yeah, boy.
I mean, what, it's like when Bush did the... Remember this dance with Bush?
Oh, yeah. That was horrible.
But what are you supposed to do?
Stop it.
I know.
They put you in a really
I don't know.
Bad situation.
What do you do?
Take the sword, get in that line. And then you're standing there with a sword. You're like, okay, what's happening next? Everyone starts dancing. I guess you just have to dance too.
I don't think so.
I know, that sucks.
I guess you just try not to look like you're having that great of a time.
But you're supposed to look like you're having a blast if you're a good guest.
But the look on everyone's face is... Oh, boy, this is really awkward. This is really
exactly. Weird. No, it always looks terribly awkward.
Not our dance.
That reminds me of the version of One by U2 that you told me to take a look at. Yeah, why don't we talk about that after this quick notice here in the DealsInTheD.com studios. The offices of Dr. Greg Roche would like to talk to you if you have any needs for cosmetic improvement. Perhaps it's larger boobs you're looking for. Or maybe you want liposuction. You want to get that last few pounds. You want to take some inches off your waist. You got some trouble spots to work on. Maybe you want the BBL, the laser treatment. Maybe you've got some sun damage on your face, which, by the way, they do an incredible job on that. Maybe you want your tattoos removed or a tattoo removed. Maybe you got your wife on there and you split up, or your ex-wife or your girlfriend and things aren't going so well or things are over. Lots of reasons to contact them, including the Brazilian butt lift, which you talked about, removing fat through lipo from all those trouble spots, back, abdomen, hips, and thighs. Maybe you don't have that many trouble spots, hopefully. Fat cells are purified, injected into the buttocks to create that shelf effect, that Kardashian ass that everyone's after. It's injected at various depths and locations. The fat transfer, prior to injection, the fat's combined with the protein-rich precipitate, PRP, for quicker healing and a better result. A rounder, fuller behind that maintains a totally natural look and feel. Patients prefer the natural approach of the Brazilian butt lift to implants used by some doctors. The added bonus being, of course, the contouring of other trouble spots with liposuction. Maybe it's just liposuction you want. Call for a consult, 248-338-1110. With such results, it's not surprising the procedure is growing in popularity. 248-338-1110. And David Hall wants you to know that mortgage rates and programs are changing all the time. If you're not paying attention, you could lose an opportunity to save money every month. That's found money, people. Hall Financial makes it easy to find out what your payment could be. You can do this. Go to our website, drewandmikepodcast.com. Click the Hall Financial logo. Fill out the online form. They'll take it from there. Or you can call them direct at 248-308-5000. Make sure you tell them Drew and Mike sent you. But again, you can click on the logo on our website, drewandmikepodcast.com. Fill out the online form. And the process is started. Restrictions apply. A Michigan licensed broker lender, NMLS number 1467435, equal housing lender. And our friends at Zot Jeep want to remind you, they talk about friends and deals in the D all the time, but did you know they're one of the largest Ram truck dealers in Michigan? Their inventory is huge. God, that Ram truck is popular. Got over 250 Ram trucks in stock. They're all over the road, and they're all over their lot, too. They also carry a full commercial line of heavy-duty trucks and vans. And during their Drive and Discover event, you can lease a new Ram Crew Cab Bighorn 4x4 for just $169 a month. DealsInTheD.com. Check it out. Get there.
What do you think some of the worst tattoos Roche might have seen?
Hmm. Oh, man. He's seen Cindy some Leathers. Doozies.
I mean, oh, you mean in a work environment.
Yeah.
Well,
it's research.
We had the contest to find the worst tattoo, and it was this guy had tattooed all his junk on his face, on his chin.
It's like an outline of a beard.
It was horrible.
Yeah.
Absolutely horrible. And Greg took it off, and it completely changed the guy's life.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think he went back to college, and I know he got into a career that would have been absolutely impossible with this tattoo.
Well, any career would be impossible with
pretty
that
much.
Tattoo.
Yeah. No, he was really – it was a great story. You know, he was just hoping to take an old girlfriend off or, you know, usually that's what you come up with when you have a contest like that. But it ended up being something much larger, and this guy was just – beside himself. He was so happy. I don't think he thought it could be taken off for some reason. But he entered the contest, and he was a pretty clear winner.
Do you remember the guy that had just the big block?
Yeah, because he had his girlfriend's name. They broke up, and so he just filled in a block. It was just a green rectangle on his arm. Yeah, I'll never forget that.
That's awesome.
Well, it was a funny way of dealing with it because most people will turn it into something else somehow, and he just said,
I'm blocking it.
I want a green block on my arm.
Get her out of my life, block her. Just put it up there.
Yeah, he was a finalist.
Yeah, that was a tough decision because they were both so bad.
Yeah, green block is hard to top. Hey, did you see much of the... Oh, first of all, you want to describe the one video?
Cornell, yeah, he did it back in 2013. He really sets it up, but I spent a lot of time watching.
Wait, that was Chris Cornell doing one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My God, I wasn't paying attention. I sped ahead to the part you mentioned.
But he would occasionally do, you know, he performed last year after Prince died. He released Nothing Compares to You. Have you heard him do Nothing Compares to You?
No.
It actually charted. It's like his last charting song, which is an awesome
great song.
I spent a lot of time watching old Cornell songs and videos, and it's like, I just never thought about how he's probably out of those big five lead singers from Seattle.
Yeah.
Easily the most musically talented. Easily. I don't even think it's close.
I would say
more than Eddie, more than
a guitarist,
more than Cobain.
Musician.
And Cobain wrote songs, but I think Cornell runs a wider gamut. More than Lane, and more than Weiland, easily.
You might get some argument from the Cobain people because he wrote he wrote a lot of great songs in a very short time.
Mm-hmm.
Since you took your love away.
He did this after Prince died?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or recorded. I think he's played it before, but he recorded it after Prince died.
Funny, I saw all the tributes to Prince. I didn't see this one. I thought I saw them all.
He did it at the Sirius Studios, Sirius XM Studios. But he was a huge Prince fan.
Interesting. It's fascinating to hear who these guys all like.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I would not expect Chris Cornell to be a huge Prince fan. Although anybody can be a huge
great
Prince
guitar,
fan.
Yeah. A bunch of tributes, too, because, you know, they're supposed to play Rock on the Range, Soundgarden.
Oh, yeah.
So bands there. Bush did Black Hole Sun. Live did I Am the Highway, which is such a good Audio Slave song. Stone Sour did Outshined. And the Chili Peppers are touring, and they covered Seasons.
Yeah.
Remember that from the single soundtrack, which is such a cool song.
That is such a great soundtrack. And an expanded single soundtrack is out now, I believe.
It is?
Yeah, I know it's coming out. If it's not out, it's coming out.
The story of Seasons is pretty wild. I guess Cornell recorded, I don't know if you remember in the movie Citizen Dick, when the lead singer left, he did his own solo album. Cornell allegedly recorded a whole album like as that guy for that guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, and that's where Seasons was. So Cameron Crowe was just blown away by it. that it even existed. Just an entire fake solo cassette of songs.
I love that movie singles, too.
Mm-hmm. That really soundtrack good. Is so strong.
It is. I love the two Pearl Jam songs on there.
Breathe.
State of Love and Trust.
Breath and State of Love and Trust.
Yeah. Great song. And those aren't any Pearl Jam albums, are they?
Re-releases later.
Okay.
Mother Love Bone is on there, which, of course, is Temple of the Dog.
Mm-hmm.
/ Pearl Jam. And... but Andy Wood's on there, which Andy Wood was Cornell's roommate, and Andy Wood's the guy that died of a heroin overdose.
Right. He was Pearl Jam's singer, wasn't he?
No, he's Mother Love Bone singer, but
were the Pearl Amet, Jam guys in that band or
Amet and Gossard were in that band.
Right.
And and then after he died, that's when McCready, I think, went to high school with one of those guys, joined, and that's when they did Temple of the Dog with Matt Cameron, Soundgarden's drummer, who's now Pearl Jam's drummer. It's weird how intertwined those two bands are.
No, it is.
And they even toured. They toured on the 20th anniversary or 25th anniversary of the release of that album, Temple of the Dog toured, which is crazy.
Has Pearl Jam done something about Cornell's death, related to his death?
You know what? I haven't seen. That's a great
I thought
question.
I saw somewhere that Pearl Jam and the Soundgarden guys were doing something together, but I've read a lot in the last couple of days, so.
I haven't seen, but can you hear? I'm starting to get hard.
No, I did not hear that.
All right, here he is playing one. This is from 2013. Do you have it, Jerry? You want me to play it?
Oh, okay.
Either way. From in Reading, Pennsylvania, that version? Because he describes, you know.
Sometimes I try songs and they don't sound so good. So I Googled the lyrics because I didn't know them, and I just put in one lyric, center, hit the first thing that came up, and there it was. Bam! Lyrics. To one, but it wasn't in the YouTube lyrics because apparently the most Googled lyrics for a song called One is a band named Metallica. And then the third one is Harry Nilsson, which is Three Dog Night. So One is the loneliest one that you can do.
Two can be as bad as one.
So. When the Metallica lyrics came up, I thought, well, fuck, let's see what that sounds like. And so I figured it out. This is what it sounds like.
I did always jump forward to the I cannot see I cannot or taking my what is it taking my sight taking my hearing
is this at the 328 mark and the Hillary and
oh no that's that's a different thing that led me from this to that
oh okay
that is
U2 isn't it
yeah, you two, I don't know. So I think after I watched this, I started watching just other performances of One by U2.
It's a great song.
And I sent you the link and just told you, because it was a really cool version of the song, and I told you to jump forward to 328.
Which I went right there.
I couldn't stop laughing, because they cut to the crowd, and there's Chelsea Clinton and Hillary Clinton, and Hillary's like pumping her arm to that song.
Chelsea's holding up one finger.
Assholes. You so knew the camera was on you.
Oh, it's stupid.
I gotta find that link.
Ugh.
So just so Jay can post it. But that shot of them, I couldn't.
Oh my God.
I went back and kept watching that because it was so bad.
I just find myself wondering, does Hillary Clinton really like you too?
No, really? She probably had a meeting with Boner one day and he's like, come see my show. And so she was forced to go. But just the vision of her fist pumping.
I'm just going to Google it. What music does Hillary Clinton really like?
Oh boy, yikes.
There was a concert during the campaign that she was all excited to go to.
Fake.
That's kind of what I thought.
Except, let me guess, did it have a Saudi Arabian lute player? Whatever it was, the promoter said, let's make this worse.
Something tells me she likes country music. I don't know why.
Oh, her? No
Maybe
way.
I just want her to.
Probably like this. She probably likes the Scissor Sisters or the Indigo Girls.
Let's see.
She loves the Indigo Girls.
Yeah, she would like the Indigo Girls, I would think.
That was too easy.
Hillary Clinton, like most of her generation, she grew up with classic rock.
The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, the Who, and the Doors.
You have something in common with her.
She said recently, oh, God.
All of that plus I like classical music. I find it relaxing when I'm thinking about stressful things. During college, I like to dance to Elvis and the Supremes.
Oh, gross.
Clinton's also praised female acts from
Loretta Lynn to Selena Gomez, Lana Del Rey, and Lady Gaga.
Selena Gomez.
She doesn't like Lady Gaga.
Well, Lady, Katy Perry, probably, because Katy Perry helped her election.
In a recent essay for Billboard's Women in Music issue, Clinton wrote that these women are
the best at one thing, Dan, whether they're fronting a rock or soul band, writing hypnotic dance anthems, unspooling intricate rap lyrics about...
You do not like any rap. Shut up.
I like rap.
About female empowerment or crooning ballads about heartbreaking young love.
Clinton also recently gave props to Beyonce.
I see her on TV. It's impressive. You see her in person, you're just stunned. Thinking, how does she do that?
If you want it, you should put a ring on it.
I want to be as good a president as Beyonce is a performer.
Oh, yeah, it was never going to happen. I am to Bill what Beyonce is to Jay-Z. What?
I just read a big story about how fake that marriage is. That's just a big...
I saw there was a...
I always kind of wondered.
There was a small story today. They both visited Chelsea's place today.
What?
And arrived separately.
Oh.
I don't know.
Interesting.
Take it for what it's worth.
Chelsea's place.
Yeah, remember she's got that fancy apartment in New York?
Oh.
So they both visited.
Why would they
arrive separately?
Ever go there?
Well, she went there to recover from her Parkinson's or whatever she had that little spell of.
Wait. Hillary went there?
Yeah, remember when she wobbled?
I thought we were talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Oh, no.
I thought they arrived there separately.
No, I was talking about Bill and Hillary.
Oh, okay.
It's even more interesting.
Yeah, no, I was intrigued by Jay-Z and Beyonce arriving separately since she's about to burst with twins. Pearl Jam. Let's see. Wait. Oh, they're paying tribute verbally.
Oh.
So far. Mike McCready shared earnest words about Cornell. Chris Cornell painted in song the darkness and beauty of life in Seattle. Chris means a lot to me today as he trusted me to play on Temple. He handed me a dream. Temple. He handed me a dream getting to actually play on beautiful songs, informed how I would play on Pearl Jam records in the future, I believe. He gave me the break in the music business I'd wanted since I was 11. He's a friend. I'll miss you, brother. They posted a picture of Cornell on their Facebook page.
Ooh.
Tom Morello wrote a poem. He wrote in memory of Cornell.
Okay. I'm just watching Chelsea Miller again. It looks like Hillary's in a neck brace. Her swing's like this, Drew.
Maybe she was headbanging too hard.
Honestly, she looks like the stiffest person I've ever seen at a concert.
I wonder if they stayed for the whole show. If they stayed for one, that was probably late in the show.
I don't know what this. It was some acoustic performance with an orchestra, which would be the only way they would see that.
Oh, of course.
It has to be done with an orchestra.
Ooh.
It has to be done.
Good. Well, I'm always...
I emailed it to you, Jay. I got it.
Okay. It's funny, on the podcast, you know, even though I'm always making the point this is not a sports podcast, just because we were on a sports station, that's the only reason I made a big point of it. Just that we're sort of going back to the old show.
Yeah.
And I'm always afraid to bring up anything sports because people are like, stop bugging Maz. You bring up sports. Well, yeah, occasionally there's a sports story we want to talk about. But I just don't want sports stories being brought up all the time. I want to bring up something else once in a while. Mm-hmm. Just once in a while. So I feel sometimes I literally set aside sports stories because I feel like I'm being a hypocrite to ask him not to bring up sports stories and then bring one up myself.
To make the audience
suffer. The problem is that he always brings up sports stories and only brings up sports stories. But I was interested in this is the second Calvin Johnson story I've read in the last couple weeks.
This is the first that, he shows her some hard feelings there.
Yeah.
Not terribly surprised. I'm surprised he's talking about it.
Yeah, I am too. Also, the fact that he's so busy with business. I just didn't think of him as being a big business guy, but I guess they all kind of want to be or think they should be.
He's a pretty sharp guy.
Oh, yeah, sure. He wants to finish at Georgia Tech, too. He hadn't finished his degree. Seems like he would have had plenty of time to do that by now, but who knows? Maybe he's a freshman when he got drafted. I guess he couldn't be a freshman. He could have been a sophomore.
Yeah, he wouldn't have much to finish. Yeah, redshirt
I wouldn't
sophomore.
Think so. He played 3 years, right?
Yeah, at least. Well, you have to be there 3 years.
But couldn't you blow off second semester your junior year and just get drafted? If
yeah.
you knew you were going to be drafted high like he did, yeah. Maybe he did that. Anyway, there's no question in my mind that he's very satisfied with his choice. Mm-hmm. And he has no desire to come back. But there were some negativity about the Lions, and I don't know. I just feel like I just didn't feel like I was treated the way I should have been treated on the way out. That's all. I mean, it's all good. I'm not tripping. I don't feel any kind of way. Just, hey, that's what they did. It is what it is. Asked to explain he was treated. He declined to go into specifics. I mean, it's simple. It's easy when you think about it. The Lions required Johnson to pay back part of the $16 million signing bonus he earned on a contract he signed in the spring of 2012. Players Association records show Johnson paid the Lions $320,000 at the time of his retirement, or one-tenth of the $3.2 million bonus proration they would have been entitled to under the league's collective bargaining agreement. Lions pursued a similar payback when Sanders retired prematurely in 1999. They told me they wouldn't trade me if I came back and stuff like that, but it wasn't about that. It was about how I felt.
How he felt physically or how he felt feeling-wise?
I don't... Is it about returning this $320,000? Is that...
Make no bones about it. The guy was pretty beat up. His hands are wrecked. He had the ankle.
His finger shrinking.
Yeah, that's right.
Whatever that means.
I'm not sure about that. I mean, he had a lot of ailments. But I think he'd be pretty hurt, not because he needs the $320,000, but because the Lions are asked for the $320,000 back. It seems very petty on both sides.
Well, he did retire significantly sooner than anyone anticipated.
Course.
He played 9 years. He didn't miss a game, did he? The last two or three. Oh, he missed a couple games.
Mm-hmm.
But he was generally healthy enough to play, which leads most people to believe that, I mean, most guys in that position who are still catching 100 balls a year keep playing.
Although that's happening less and less.
Well, the money's bigger and bigger, too. Yeah. So there's, you know, less incentive. In some ways, there's more incentive because the money's bigger. But to some people, if you got enough in the bank.
And Burkett writes, the beginning of this article writes about Marshawn Lynch because Lynch is coming back.
Yeah. And, what's going on with Lynch, by the way?
Back with Oakland. He's on Oakland.
No, is it a money thing strictly? Is he acknowledged that or what?
No, I think
what does he say?
He just feels like playing now. You know, he's always kind of a different guy, and I think he just wanted to play again. He's from Oakland, so he wanted. If he was going to come back, it would only be for Oakland. So,
I don't really have a. I mean, I can see how a guy gets worn out and thinks he wants out, and then after a year, maybe feels otherwise. That happens.
It's kind of rare, but yeah.
Yeah, it's rare that a guy's got enough in the tank to come back.
Yeah.
Usually, because guys just don't tend to retire that early. But
You don't think Calvin could come back, do you?
I think he probably could.
He's a top 10 receiver when he left, but
I don't think he will. But I would imagine he's probably athletic enough that he could still come back and play at a pretty high level. Maybe not the level he would.
Depends
want
how healed
to.
He is.
Yeah, well, he's probably, I would think he'd be pretty healed by now, wouldn't you?
Well, he says, he it seems like there's some lasting effects because he says, you know, I'm fine as long as I'm not running around.
Yeah, it sounds like he's got a knee that's pretty effed up for life, for good. I mean, like maybe he'll need a knee replacement at some point. But so you think this is really just about the $320,000?
I don't know. I don't know. There's something the way the Lions handled it that he did not like.
It's funny about...
I don't remember the Lions trashing him.
No, not at all. I think they were pretty quiet about it until it was official, and then it was pretty much...
I got to say, if anything, they were incredibly patient with him to make a decision.
I thought so. I didn't think they did anything wrong. But honestly, because he retired significantly before anyone would have expected, is it really... that ridiculous for them to want $320,000 back? I mean, that's not pocket change. I mean, some people, I'm sure, think it is to him or to them.
I know that's...
I see suggesting this should have been his going away present present.
I feel like it'd be us arguing over $100 or $1,000. You know, the Lions don't need it.
Well, anybody can use $320,000. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Of course, but you're talking about a billion-dollar valuated company versus a guy who made millions upon millions.
You're also talking about a guy...
It's hard to figure out the mentality there.
Look at the dough he made, though, the last few years of his career. He made a lot of dough.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, it's really not that much money to him either. I mean, I think when you... If you got a five-year deal and you play three of the years... It seems to me
you owe them
a little
bonus.
Something. I mean, you didn't live up to your what you signed to do. Although, was that one of those contracts that was so long there was no way he was ever going to play to the end? It probably was.
Not really.
Oh, it wasn't? No, how long a deal was it?
Played to the end. How many years did he have left on it? He could have played to the end of that.
He only had to pay back one-tenth of the contract, so he couldn't have had that far to go. I don't know. I have to say I'm surprised that he verbalized this because he's not that kind of guy typically.
Yeah,
I mean, I would. It makes it sound to me. I'm thinking he must have been really upset to say something. I would think he was very upset.
But he still doesn't really ever say anything. He just,
no,
I'm hurt, but that's kind of where he leaves it. Which, you know, I don't know, Calvin, but it sounds like that's about the most he'll say about something.
Was there not enough celebration of his career at that moment? Should they have, I mean, typically...
In the middle of January?
Well, during
February.
The season, could they have done something this year? Should they have done something this year? I think generally it takes a couple years for that to start happening, like retiring jerseys and that business. I mean,
yeah,
would they do it anyway?
You know, what did he claim? He told some people at the beginning of the year, but nobody in the organization. So how are they supposed to do that during the year?
I mean, during the following year, the year after.
Oh.
The first year they played without him, this past
year. Last
year? Yeah. Should they have done something?
I would assume... Yeah, they should have. I would say yeah. Maybe he didn't want to.
Did they do anything? I mean, maybe that's what he's talking about.
If they did, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't recall them doing anything.
$113 million is what he made over his career.
Well, I think... I don't... He may see that as pocket change, but...
Actually, probably more than that, because that's only 2015. Okay.
I suppose they could have done something this year. I don't think that's...
Is that really what would hurt somebody so much?
Well, it sounds kind of... It or sounds kind of wimpy, really.
Something as simple as, look, I'm retiring. Like, no, 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 think about it, think about it. We want you back. And he didn't like being badgered about it? Maybe it is. I don't know. It seems like money.
But that's only natural. I mean, that's so commonplace that it seems to me they're not doing their jobs if they don't try to talk him out of retiring.
Of course. If they think there's any chance.
Here's some of the comments.
Oh, on the article?
Yeah. Then go ahead and support the franchise that continues to take the money of the fans without giving a suitable product over one of the best players they've ever had. Fighting that guy for a few a few hundred thousand dollars after he's pretty much the best thing going for them for most of his career. It's not a matter of sympathy. It's a matter of seeing how petty that type of move is to someone who provided a lot to the franchise. I bet you're the guy who complains when someone wins big at the casino because the rich people lost money. The article mentioned the money. He did not. He declined to mention specifics, so saying his gripe was the money is an assumption some of you have just ran with. He could have issue with a number of other things the Lions didn't do. It's unfortunate when it comes to the business side of sports, things can get ugly, but I will always remember Calvin as the greatest wide receiver I've ever seen play. When your team has only won one playoff game in 50 years, all you have is a fan of the great players during that time for anything positive. Kevin Robinson.
Oh, man, I was hoping it was a woman.
CJ said he's not tripping over it, which I take to mean he doesn't want to come across like he's whining, but his ego obviously was a bit bruised over the way the departure was handled. I felt the Lions were a little cloddish in how they dealt with the matter, giving Johnson stature. I'm not sure I agree about the money part, though CJ was having some difficulty getting open his last couple of years and took a beating because of it. That led to his retirement.
That's probably very true what that guy said. I agree with all that.
I love watching
or woman.
CJ, and I feel he was one of the best all-time Lions, in my humble opinion. I thought he was the one who jerked the Lions around when it came to the way it ended. Not as bad as Barry, but he had a negative impact on the cap and clearly impacted draft planning.
Such a stupid remark.
It's rare that I ever come to the Lions' defense on anything. Not sure what they could have done different in this case. The man was showered with praise and adulation throughout his career by the ownership. They gave him everything he wanted. Yes, he put his body through a lot, but he didn't necessarily play here for free. The Lions made him rich beyond his wildest imagination. Last year, he was worth $100 million. If this is about the signing bonus, then I have to fault his handlers for that. It's explained to every player that comes into the NFL. How petty can a billion-dollar organization be that they fight their best all-time player for hundreds of thousands of dollars?
Is that previous one from Martha?
No. I don't know who it's from. Tony. And to do this after each of them have their body, give their body to the franchise while the inept management couldn't be bothered to put a good team around them. Can't understand why Johnson's not happy with the organization and you lack basic empathy skills. None of you would be happy with the organization if you were in his shoes and you were lying if you say otherwise. It isn't petty. It's a contract between the players' union and the league and a contract between the player and the team. These aren't decisions they make and do what they want on either side. Their contracts say exactly what happens under all foreseeable circumstances. Okay, let's get the facts straight. If players cut, they keep the entire signing bonus. If a player retires, they must repay the prorated signing bonus. This is all due to the CBA. The Lions make him pay $320K, but let him keep the rest of the $2.9 million he owes them. Sounds like a pretty good deal to me. I guess the Lions have to show precedence that they expect the money back. He's mad because the Lions and other clubs didn't give him a retirement tour.
Oh, come on.
He's not a Hall of Famer. Great stats over a few seasons, but only one truly great season. Great guy. Wish him well.
Such a stupid remark.
After he says that. If you think he's not a Hall of Famer, you never watch football. You need never watch football again. The game isn't missing a very competent fan.
I'm sorry. I didn't.
Oh, there's Sterling news today.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Well, that always comes first. What's the Sterling news?
He has a new girlfriend.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Except I couldn't see her face. It was kind of a weird shot that I saw.
Was she wearing a Stiviano and a mask?
Possibly.
Here's what color your skin is. Open your legs.
She looked younger than
Donald. You noticed that, right?
Yeah, she looked maybe 50 years younger. 50 or 60 years younger, possibly.
I'm trying to find it. I don't know. I don't have a problem with what the Lions getting that bonus back, and I'm just surprised that he would have a problem paying it back. You know, Lions, they do have a cap to manage, too.
Well, that's kind of what I meant.
Yeah.
I mean, they
have a business to run.
Yeah.
But why would he? What'd you find her?
Yeah. Oh, let me see.
Big Donald Sterling.
She got a Brazilian butt lift from Dr. Roche, it looks like.
Yeah, as if his dong's going anywhere near that.
Oh. I think he may have dyed his hair a bit. He's wearing Harry Carey's glasses.
Yeah. He looks a little Rip Taylor-esque in a way.
He thinks he's hot.
Yeah.
He's wearing a down vest.
Fuck off.
They're holding hands, too. I can't believe this slut is holding his hand.
Ew, what is that bag from? How much did he spend on her?
She's got two bags.
Yeah, they went on a shopping spree.
Are you kidding?
Ew, look at his... Are you looking on the Daily Mail pictures?
No.
Look at this picture of his belly sticking way out, and it looks he either has his pants up really high, or he has the most outrageous outward belly button. Because there's like this knot in the middle of his belly.
That's weird.
And look at her camel toe.
Oh, we gotta flip over,
Magic Johnson,
to get a look at that.
Who is this chick? How embarrassing. He looks ridiculous.
I know. What is up with... What kind of chick wants to date Donald Sterling?
Well, it depends what's in those two bags.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, what does dating really consist of? I mean, I don't know. Honestly, how sexual do you think that those two get?
Well, but then she's, okay, so what? Is she giving up her sex life, or do they have some agreement where she can go bone people privately?
Totally. As long as they're not black.
She's not that hot. Oh, boy.
Face is not that hot.
That's quite a camel, too.
Yeah.
She's got a little gut on her, too.
Really?
Yeah. A little midriff bulge, maybe.
Maybe she's carrying Donald's child. He inseminated her. Yeah.
She's definitely
after a 5 hour session. By the way, his glasses have a blue tint to them.
They do. Yeah. They preserved a boil over to impregnate her with the turkey baster.
We had to do that job.
You know, that would be a lot of work.
Preserving a boil over.
Capturing a boil over could.
You have to wear the Stiviano mask first of all. Full lab coat.
Oh boy.
Syringe.
Yeah, she's not
lucky. You're lucky if you get just even a dollop.
She's
just a
not,
tad of his Cummings.
She's not that hot.
She's not that hot, but look at him.
I know, but
honestly, these pictures
she's
are so
looking
silly.
At her two bags.
Instead of walking,
what's in the bags? I'm with you.
Instead of walking hand in hand with him, she should just be walking hand with his wallet in it.
Yeah, like, you're right.
Like they're in love, doing things with his wallet, like on a merry-go-round or driving the car, the wallet's driving.
Or he doesn't even have to be there. She can just be walking with his wallet,
that's
which
what
has
I mean.
Sterling yeah. written on it.
That's what I mean. They're doing all these. She's having dinner, the wallet's sitting on
the wallet's
side.
Sitting in.
they're in a boat. The wallet's rowing the boat.
I'm Mr. Sterling, everything.
How romantic.
I'm his confidant, his best friend, his silly rabbit.
Silly rabbit.
Hang on, Sterling.
Yeah.
What a fucking creep.
Oh, boy. Hey, did you see this chick that got burned by Starbucks coffee, got $100,000?
Really?
Florida woman who was severely burned after the lid popped off a cup of Starbucks coffee and spilled on her lap. By the way, I've spilled a pretty good size cup of coffee from Starbucks in my lap, and it was hot.
Whoa. Should have documented it.
And it wasn't like I had blisters or something. It was, I think, like the skin might have been a little red, just a little bit red, because it was hot. It was fresh. But to think $100,000 for her injuries.
That's got to be a settlement.
She says she got first and second degree burns on her midsection after the lid popped off her 12. Did she put anything in the coffee maybe after they put the lid on? Did she squeeze the coffee too much? Did she make the lid pop off?
Is there a warning?
I don't know.
Contents may be hot.
She poured 190 degree liquid in her lap. 190 degrees, really?
Yeah, I know that from Jeff Lewis.
I thought he wanted 114 degrees.
Oh, is that what?
Yeah, 114.5 or something.
Uh-oh. Just how particularly he was
hilarious.
With the temperature of his coffee.
But I thought his was hotter than.
Oh, let me find it. I'll see if I can find the clip.
Her attorney argued that Starbucks should warn its customers the lid can pop off. Oh, no one can ever figure that out.
There you go. They don't have the warning.
Starbucks representative testified during a trial the coffee company receives 80 complaints a month about issues with lids popping off or leaking. Jury awarded her $15,000 for medical bills. Really? Really? 85% for her pain and disfigurement?
Wow.
Disfigured, is she?
Does it say, midsection was burned. Did it say, if it was a settlement. I don't know if I missed that part or if she actually
won. She was awarded $100,000.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing it went that far. You'd think they would settle it. Here's the Jeff Lewis drink order.
Oh.
What was the name of the show? This was such a fun show.
It's been a couple different incarnations.
The original version, though, was so good. Flipping Out.
Flipping Out, yeah. He basically rehabs houses, and he's...
rice, corn tortillas. I want to change my drink order.
What would you like?
Ideally, 70% lemonade, 20% punch.
Oh, this must be a different one.
10% Sprite.
Oh, where's the rest of it? What happened?
If they don't have fruit punch, do like 85% lemonade and 15% Sprite.
All right. Oh, boy. God, he's a pain in the
ass.
They
don't have lemonade. She's do 85% punch and 15% Sprite. Or 7-Up.
They have lemonade, but I have the other two, Jeff.
He is so anal.
Well. Oh, that's not the right one. Balls. I got to find the coffee order.
Yeah, and the girl that works for him, she had to get the coffee all the time. So if it was the wrong temperature, he always, of course,
he would know.
Pissed at her.
He would know.
I mean, it's not like she didn't ask for it, though. If it was off, it was off because they made it off. In my opinion.
How many people remember that show?
Flipping Out?
I think a lot of people remember
it. I think it was a pretty big show on Bravo.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people would know it. I think it's. I think he's still on in a different kind of... It's a different show, but sort of the same.
Mm. Oh, you know what? It doesn't... There's no clip of it, but someone transcribed it.
Okay.
He drank the coffee. He said, is this 140? It's not 140. This is 150 or 155. The temperature of his coffee. What a dick. Oh, man. As if.
Yeah, he's a little tricky.
Jeff Lewis.
Little difficult. Today in Rock for May the 22nd. Oh, boy. Big event on this day. One of the early real rock and roll historical events. Jerry Lee Lewis arrived at London's Heathrow Airport to begin his first British tour, along with his new bride, his 13-year-old third cousin, Myra. Mm-hmm. Although advised not to mention it, Lewis answered all questions about his private life. The public shock over his marriage marked the start of a controversy leading to his British tour being canceled after three of 37 scheduled performances. And then Dick Clark unscheduled him on Bandstand.
Really?
Yeah, the week they canceled the rest of the tour. And they said that Dick Clark doing that really was the sinking, that was the blow that put him underground for about 10 years.
Oof.
And then he did reemerge.
That's so stupid that that had that much power.
Yeah, that's stupid. Of course, you know, marrying his 14-year-old cousin or 13-year-old cousin, pretty stupid, too. They were married for a long time, though. It seemed like a pretty good marriage. I mean, it was within the law.
Don't judge.
It was a legal marriage.
I just don't like that Bandstand thing.
I know, for Dick Clark.
The final nail in the coffin.
Yes. Unsettling. Let's see. Oh, Beatles were number one in 65 in the singles chart with Ticket to Ride, their eighth U.S. number one in a year and a half. The American singles label declared the song was from the United Artists' release, Eight Arms to Hold You. That was the early name for the movie Help. A title changed to Help after the single was initially released.
It's a stupid name.
Yeah. I think that was the movie maker name, and they asked them to write a song, and they liked Help. Gary, that's a great song. Actually, Help kind of stands up. That's one of the early songs I think stands up. Okay. It doesn't sound like so much a boy band song.
Like
You Want to Hold Your Hand? Hard Day's Night, too. Gary Puck and the Union Gap were number one in the UK single charts with Young Girl, Get Out of My Life. Songs about underage sex. I know it's about underage sex. Makes sense, though.
Did Dick Clark like it?
Probably not. He probably unbooked Gary Puck at the Union Gap.
They were never booked to begin with.
A stupid song.
Yeah.
I never liked it. 71 in this day, the Rolling Stones' Sticky Fingers started a four-week run at number one in the U.S. charts, their second U.S. number one album. The artwork for Sticky Fingers featured a working zipper that opened to reveal cotton briefs. It was conceived by Andy Warhol. The cover photo of Joe D'Alessandro's crotch-clad in tight blue jeans was assumed by many to be the image of Mick Jagger. It was not. Hmm. The album also featured the first usage of the tongue and lip design that the Stones would use, well, for. They're still using it. 76, the Wings started a five-week run at number one on the U.S. singles charts with Silly Love Songs, which was McCartney's response to the fact that he wrote too many silly love songs. His fifth U.S. number one since leaving the Beatles. And 1989, rap group Public Enemy fired one of his members, Professor Griff, after he made anti-Semitic remarks in the Washington Post.
Oh, man.
Really? 93, Swedish group Ace of Base started a three-week run at number one with All That She Wants. Number one in the U.K., number two in the U.S., though. It's a big hit. What's Pop Goes the Weasel? The Weasel Goes Pop. Isn't that Ace of Base?
No. That's Third Base. Ace of Base. Is I Saw the Sign and, like you said, All That She Wants.
Third Base. Is the guy from Third Base in Detroit?
Yeah,
MC
Search?
Yeah.
MC Search was. He was doing mornings. I don't know where he is now. At one point, he was up for a morning show host of the Bones.
MC Search was?
Well.
Allegedly?
Yeah, allegedly.
Oh, okay.
Apparently, it didn't work.
He's a nice guy.
I loved him.
2002, Adam Ant appeared at the Old Bailey in London, charged with possession of an imitation firearm. Ant, his real name is Stuart Goddard. Ant. Had been
Mr.
arrested
Ant.
In January after an altercation at the Prince of Wales pub in London when a bouncer refused to let him in. 2004, Morrissey appeared at the MEN Arena, Manchester, on his 45th birthday.
Was he bummed out?
Undoubtedly. It was his return to his home city after an absence of 12 years. The 18,000 tickets sold out in 90 minutes.
Oh, that would have totally bummed him out that it sold out.
Well, he also was so bummed out he could only play five Smith songs, which bummed out the whole crowd. So everybody felt the same way at the end.
If he has to be bummed out, everyone has to be bummed out.
Of course.
Whatever he does, he always tries to just bum out his audience.
Yeah, the whole place left totally bummed, including the band. 2005.
The ironic thing is if he played more Smith songs, they'd be really bummed out.
Well, true, but they'd be musically happy,
yeah.
But mentally bummed out.
Bummed out. Exhausted, yeah.
2005, Dave Matthews Band were number one in the U.S. charts with Stand Up. The album entered the charts at number one with sales of 465,000. That was when bands used to actually sell records. It seems like, what should platinum be now? Like 100,000 copies or maybe 250,000 copies?
Downloads,
yeah. 2009, White Stripes drummer Meg White married Jackson Smith. An ex-husband and bandmate Jack White's Nashville home. Jack and Meg White were married for 4 years, divorced in 2000. It was part of a double wedding, which saw Jack Lawrence and Joe McCaughey marry. Lawrence plays bass in Jack's other project, The Raconteurs. 2010, Alanis Morissette married rapper Mario Soli Treadway in a private ceremony in their L.A. home.
Who?
Mario Soli Treadway.
What's his rap name?
Soli, I guess.
Really?
I spoke Mario Treadway, Soli.
Huh.
And 2011, this is a lovely story. Four dead dogs in sealed containers were found in the Tennessee home of former Kiss guitarist Vinnie Vincent during an investigation that led to his arrest on charges of assaulting his wife.
What?
He was a member of Kiss from 82 to 84, was released after posting $10,000 bond after his arrest by county sheriff departments. And in 2012, the British newspaper The Sun on May the 22nd reported Mick Jagger's lavish Caribbean holiday home in Mystique was available for hire at £9,500 a week, but added that Mick demanded full details of applicants' backgrounds, including professions, before they were even considered. Oh, not enough just to have the money, huh? Bandmate Keith Richards' beachfront Caribbean holiday home at Parrot Cay Resort in the Turk and Caicos Island was available for rent at $35,000 a week. So Keith apparently is the larger vacation home for rent.
Wow.
I'm surprised they don't have, they don't have enough dough to just keep the place unrented, just go when the fuck they want.
Well, maybe they can write it off this way.
Make a lot of money, too.
Where is Mystique?
$35,000 a week. Mystique, that's in the Caribbean, isn't it? Yeah, it's in the Caribbean. Caribbean holiday home.
Okay.
Somebody else says, I want to say Letterman might have a place there. Somebody's got a place.
I thought he was on St. Bart's.
Yeah, you're right. He is at St. He's at St. Bart's all the time.
Mystique popped up when I was reading more about Bernie Madoff this weekend because
you saw the movie.
Yeah, on HBO. It's an okay movie. The ABC one with Richard Dreyfuss is so much better.
That was good. I liked that a lot. I thought it was very good.
This
it covered
one,
everything.
Yeah, this one just doesn't. This one just mainly focuses on Ruth and the two kids in the aftermath. A lot less on how he did it. But it's good. It's an okay movie to watch. That story is so big and has so many tentacles. But I decided to read more on it, just kind of refresh myself about it. And I forgot what really drove those Bernie Madoff's fund were these feeder funds that were supposed to look at investing groups, these hedge funds, and say, yes, this one's okay. And then they put money into it and they kind of get a kickback.
Uh-huh.
And the guy from the, I forget what it was called, it's like Greenwich, Connecticut. But it's some feeder fund from Greenwich, Connecticut. And, of course, the guy couldn't be reached because he was on his home in Mystique.
Oh.
And that's why it popped up. But, this, you know, they made millions upon millions off of Bernie Madoff without, you know, doing their due diligence, even though they claim they would.
Right.
It's just it's a big story, but it's a really, really wild story. And that's what I was telling you before the show. They never got into the ABC movie got into it, but the Marco Polis guy who busted him.
Yeah.
Worked for a competing fund and kind of backtracked his investments and told the SEC 5 times that this is a fraud and they did nothing.
And that would have been, if they had acted on his advice, they would have saved so much money because he complained before the market went to hell.
2000, 3 times in 2001. Another time in 2005, and then he did in the spring of 2008. But none of that even mattered because it wasn't until the market collapsed that did him in.
You know, the amazing thing is at one point, as part of the investigation, I think that guy claimed that Madoff was doing no trading.
He admits it.
He traded nothing. And they asked him for some trading number, you know, that would just, well, surely you're making, what's your trading number? And he never provided it.
No, he didn't have one.
Right. He never traded.
Madoff claimed.
How did he lose all the money if he never traded? That's the weird thing. Just spending it?
No, he lost out because the market collapsed and people started saying, I want but my what was, hedge what, funds wanted their money.
What was the money sitting in?
Savings.
If he wasn't trading, you think he would have had the money.
Yeah, but he was spending it. He was giving bonuses to all his employees.
Yeah, he was running this big company.
It's a Ponzi scheme, and once the people want their money and there's no money there. That's the amazing thing, too. He was getting people to give him $250 million in November as he knows it's collapsing.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that one, the secretary there who had like $150,000, yeah. And he took it knowing full well he was going down the tubes. What a jerk.
Yep. I mean, he's the worst of the worst, and he never really accepts any responsibility. He kind of blames those people. Like, hey, you're getting 10% returns. Of course something's up.
Oh, and they begged to be in the fund
because
he was – part of his manipulation was telling people, nope, can't let you in. We're closed fund right now. And then he'd say, you know, maybe down the road. I don't know. I don't know if I want to take any more people. Say, oh, please take our billions. And, you know, he was taking money from charities, a lot of Jewish charities.
Yep.
Big money from this one charity. Huge money. I can't remember exactly how much it was, but it was a ton.
The guy that
screwed.
The guy that busted him pointed out how no major bank on Wall Street invested in his hedge fund. Even though it was terribly successful, he was head of the NASDAQ. No bank put their money with him, so that should have been a red flag for the SEC. But as he reverse engineered all his investments, he said he knew it was a fraud within 5 minutes, and then it took him 4 hours to mathematically prove it. 5 minutes. And one of the ways he proved it is he allegedly made all these security buys in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And he called up guys that he knew, because he was doing security buys in Chicago, if they've ever done a trade with them. And they said no, because he would have done more trades on the security exchange in Chicago than were made in that year.
Wow.
I mean, the math just didn't add up. And yet, nobody, the SEC did nothing.
So, you know what intrigues me about that is how many people at the SEC lost their jobs because of that? Yeah, probably not. That's what always ends up pissing me off is that nobody's held responsible for anything.
There's so little oversight on banks.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot more now, allegedly. Or at least the rules are tighter. Huh?
Dodd-Frank. Which only hurts small banks and small businesses. It's a good movie, though.
Yeah, I'm recording it tonight. I'm going to watch it.
Yeah.
Nice to know that this lady who needs cosmetic surgery because a chunk of concrete landed in a windshield. That roadway is scheduled for repair, or that concrete, that overpass or whatever, scheduled for repair in 2020.
Really?
That's nice to know.
Really?
Yeah.
Are they going to push that up a little bit?
Doesn't suggest so.
And I don't really want to drive under it.
She's undergoing facial reconstruction surgery. Shouldn't there be a sign that this is the overpass that the lady got hit with a chunk under? Yeah.
They described it. I forgot the cross. Do you remember the cross?
Jay? Let's see.
Like over by DeQuinder, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And they've got a fourth guy that got hit, and he's got video of it hitting what? Him. So they actually have like video.
How is he videotaping?
He had a dash cam mounted in his car.
Wow.
Really?
And he just happened to catch the concrete flying up
Holy
and hitting his
crap.
Windshield.
Yeah, it's not due for an overhaul until 2020 unless $70 million in funding needed to remove and replace the concrete in that stretch of I-696 becomes available sooner. A piece of concrete from the road surface weighing about 10 pounds became dislodged. It flew up. Oh, it flew up and went through a windshield. Okay. Struck in the side of the head. God, brutal. Grosse Pointe woman. Near Hoover, which is, yeah, that's right near.
Mm-hmm. It's in that area.
God, brutal. Next, did you see any of the royal wedding?
Oh, no.
Pippa?
Oh, I saw a little bit of the coverage.
And Pippa and James Matthews?
I saw the royal brats were being brats.
Oh, they were being brats?
George was balling.
Good for him.
And, well, he didn't want to be at a wedding. What is he, 4?
4.3.
God, he didn't want to be there.
Princess Charlotte was there, too.
Being a brat as well. She didn't want to be there.
Oh, Charlotte being a brat?
Yeah, both of them were, from what I read. And then, of course, Meghan Markle was not there at the wedding. She was at the reception.
Why wasn't she at the wedding?
Because they didn't want her to take away from Pippa's big day.
Oh, stupid.
Exactly. Oh,
absolutely stupid.
Exactly. But you know the saying, no ring, no bring.
No, I don't know that expression.
Apparently, if you're not married, it's gauche and royal. I don't know.
What?
If you're not engaged or married, you're not supposed to be going, Drew, I don't
really?
Know. That's what I was told by the TV.
By the way, is this guy, I expected
He's
a better
terrible.
Looking, I expected
Thank
a better
you.
Looking dude
yeah.
for Pippa.
But two words, hedge fund.
Oh, yeah.
He runs
That's right.
a hedge
I did
fund.
Hear that. And it's funny, when I heard that, I was like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
I think she weighs more than him.
Yeah, he's really thin.
She's super skinny.
So is she another candidate for going out on the rowboat with his wallet?
Yes.
She doesn't need
definitely.
Any money, though. Isn't their family loaded?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, come on. She could marry. There's so many people this chick could marry. I can't believe there's not a good-looking guy with money she could marry.
Mm-hmm.
But was she getting a little over the hill, possibly?
Yeah.
Age 33. Oh!
Tick, tick.
That's a little bit old.
Tick, tick, tick.
He's 41. I think because nobody would marry him. Even though he's got a full wallet, nobody would marry him because he's looks like a tool.
Oh, she's got to wear the pants in that relationship.
She looks mighty happy. I got to say, she doesn't look the least bit disappointed or any kind of quandary there.
Ugh.
Apparently that wallet was a huge part of this deal. Sorry. She didn't marry him for looks. He's not a bad looking guy. Actually looks very British, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
Is he British? He must be.
Oh, he's a former race car driver.
Ooh!
And he's heir to the Scottish Country Child Laird of Glenafric. What?
Is that so?
He's worth $2 billion.
Well.
His father is loan owner Dave Matthews.
So the question is, wait, he's worth $2 billion. What's the royal family worth?
Oh.
Are they worth more than $2 billion? I mean, that's a pretty exclusive company.
Are they on Celebrity Net Worth?
I'm looking.
Oh!
You remember all the uproar of how Pippa's ass, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. That's all anybody knows about her.
Exactly.
Her butthole.
Well, it was a very form-fitting dress.
Nice.
Let there be no doubt. No, her ass was the star of that wedding.
Easily.
It was. Nobody would disagree with that.
Even all these years later.
I've never seen a wedding where an ass just stole the show like that. Hmm. I mean, usually it's some giant cleavage, some low-cut thing, or somebody's wearing a see-through something. But no, it's just the shape of her ass. It's just
a lot of pressure. She's got to keep that ass up.
Yeah, I don't, you know, in this.
I don't see this guy ruining it, though.
No, he's not going to do any damage to it.
Maybe that's why she married him.
Yeah, I don't think sex from behind will even happen in this relationship.
No.
See, it might be off limits.
This story here.
Maybe a sign on her ass.
Closed.
Tattooed on there, off limits.
They're not on Celebrity Net Worth, but there's a story here from January this year saying they're estimated at $84
billion. Oh,
what? Okay. Well, all their holdings.
Pretty dumb question.
That'd be hilarious if they had to start selling a bunch of stuff.
$84 billion. So they've got to be, I mean, would they show up in the Forbes 400? Is it all in Queen Elizabeth's name?
Well, it's not one person. I mean, how many ways is that split?
I don't know. That's a good question. Did they get all the money from people walking through, the tourists who pay $20 to walk through Buckingham Palace or whatever? Is that their money?
You can't go through Buckingham Palace.
Not Buckingham Palace, but there's a palace. I went on one of those stupid tours.
Kensington, where they live.
Kensington, yeah. That's right.
The prince and the princess live.
But they charged to go through there.
Huh.
They get all that dough.
It's for upkeep.
See, but this is all like, you know, assets and everything. Like the Royal Art Collection is valued at $25.9 billion alone. Buckingham Palace, $2.8 billion, you know, stuff like that.
$2.8 billion? It's prime real estate.
It's pretty amazing.
What if they sold it and someone turned it into condos?
That'd be great. It's just so funny. They're mascots. They don't have any function, but they bring in so much money and tourism that it's funny, too, that brings in tourism, really? Oh, I must go see where the royal family lives.
It's like a fantasy movie come to life.
Look at this picture here, Drew. Because one of the line items is like racehorses, china, jewelry, Fabergé eggs, and more art is valued at $86 million. Look at the picture of the horse here in the spit.
Jeez.
Spit going at the queen.
Brother.
Wow.
Yeah, this. Did you feel like this royal wedding was a bit? I don't know. It seems like it was a big deal. Yeah, she's not a royal.
There's no royals.
That's right.
That's why it's just a wedding that the royals happen to be at. I think she's prettier than her sister.
Yeah, I think so too. Not by much, though. I mean, they're both.
Yeah.
Very pretty. It's funny. Her sister. I hate to say this. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because she married him or because she got a couple kids, but she just doesn't seem that sexy anymore to me. She seems like a non-sexual being, and she's really attractive.
Well,
what is that? I mean,
I think a lot of it's him.
Probably.
Actually, you know,
and she's a royal now. I mean,
I take back what I said. I'm looking at pictures of her. She's prettier than Pippa.
You think so?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pippa's pretty cute.
At least her best pictures are. But of course, all these pictures, none of them have what's the dude's name? William? Yeah. None of them have William in the photo. Why is the royal family so ugly? Honestly, who was the last hot royal?
I know Diana's always described as being hot, but she's not even that hot. That special they ran. First of all, I couldn't believe
she married into the royalty. Like what offspring?
Yeah, that's
of
true.
Like the Duchess of Pork wasn't very hot. Sarah Ferguson?
Well, she married into it, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But her husband wasn't that hot.
Queen Victoria. Now, that's a looker. You ever seen Queen Victoria?
Well, Elizabeth's sister. What's her name? What's Elizabeth's sister's name? She was Margaret. Margaret.
Yeah, she
was. Margaret was hot, man.
Yeah.
And the only reason I know that is because, it's crazy. The only reason I know that is because I saw a couple pictures of her. She was backstage with the Beatles in like 65 or 66, maybe. And she was, of course, you know, she had this face like, oh. And I think she's about 10 years older than them. But she looked pretty hot. She had a nice rack. She had a pretty face. Margaret was definitely the star. Elizabeth was not bad looking when she married Philip. She looked okay.
Really?
I mean, her face was never all-star, but she had a pretty good body. And, of course, Philip said you couldn't get enough. He was asked by the royal family to stop talking about how horny his wife was.
How gross Charles is. And
no, Philip's no, Charles ugly. Is horrible looking. Yeah, Philip's not really great looking. But, you know, Diana's kids, they look okay.
Yeah, the one with Hewitt's pretty attractive.
Yeah, the one with Hewitt.
And he's going to marry that hot piece of ass, so.
Yeah, there's not.
If he could just jump in line and be king, then he could start all over with a good gene pool.
I thought there'd be more controversy over his relationship with an American actress. Oh!
Who's been divorced.
Oh, has she been divorced?
Thought so.
Like Wallace Simpson?
Abdicate the throne.
I will abdicate the throne for the woman I love. That was a real, I mean, famous piece of audio.
Yeah.
Back in the day, that was big deal.
And then he went
to the woman I love.
And then they moved to France or wherever, and he has to watch the coronation. He's immediately bummed out.
Yeah.
Like, oh God, why did I do it for this nut?
But they gave him, I forget what his allowance was. He had some giant stipend every year. They lived very well. And what did they do? Did they just travel around the world the entire time? Wallace? He never worked, did he?
No. Well, they never had to work. She was a bunch divorced, wasn't she?
Wallace?
Yeah,
Wallace Simpson?
Not
twice.
Just once.
Twice, I think. The twice divorced, the American twice divorcee. Oh, the royal family. The scandals. I read that Kitty Kelly book. That was the book that had the story about Philip bragging about how horny Elizabeth was and him actually being told to knock it off. Because, of course, Philip would tell one guy who would tell 200 people. The whole country's agog over their horny queen who can't get enough. She didn't look too bad. Can you get a picture of Margaret up there? Elizabeth's sister, Queen Elizabeth's sister, Margaret, in her heyday. I mean, not. She died, didn't she? Didn't Margaret die?
Oh, I think so.
I'm pretty sure she did. But I'm telling you, I hope I'm not disappointed because I haven't seen a picture of her in a long time. Let's see. She looks pretty good there.
She's okay.
She's got too many damn clothes on in all these pictures.
Oh. How dare she? There's
a shoulder. When she was backstage, you know, at this concert, I think there's a picture with the Stones, too, and she was dressed kind of, you know, as hip as a royal can dress.
Yeah, she's much more attractive than the Queen. Even back, like, I'm looking up two pictures of both of them young. She's way better than the Queen.
Yeah, but Elizabeth doesn't look that bad then, does she?
Elizabeth! She doesn't look that great.
Yeah, there she is. Yeah, you can see she's got a body on her, for sure. I mean, if you had to nail a royal.
I know, but it's just funny because she's dead and the other's like 100 years old.
I know. Try her with the Beatles, Jay.
I mean, I don't want to nail her now. She's been dead for a decade. The other one's almost dead.
I know, and then you look at the picture, looking at these pictures of her when she's hot, and it's like, oh, God, everybody in the picture's dead. They're all dead. Yeah, she looks pretty good, but again, she's dressed like shit. Jay's pointer's getting a workout.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, well, they don't have God, almost every picture's from behind. Yeah, she looks okay there. Their stupid purse. I think they're accepting their MBEs there. Yeah, John's checking her out. John's definitely eyeing her.
Finally found the Beatles one.
Yeah.
Whoa. I just Googled hottest royal.
Uh-huh.
Even though she's not really a royal. Kitty Spencer. So she must be related to Princess Diana.
Yeah.
Hot as hell. Lady Kitty Spencer. Of course, she has the Spencer genes.
I don't know. I don't think I think the Spencer genes are overrated. Don't you? A little bit?
Well, let me find some more photos of her. She's not bad. I'm just saying, the bar is low when you're talking about the royal.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Oh, man. Some of these pictures she just packed on, but some of them she had a huge rack. Oh, well, the bikini one's not there. Okay, never mind. Strike that from the record.
No.
She was at one time.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man.
At one time she was.
Could have been.
Yeah, the face is... She might have had a Brazilian butt lift. She might have had a natural one. Jeez. Oh, boy.
Yeah, never mind.
The legs are a little... Yikes. I don't know about that bikini choice. Hey, so did you see the story about Saudi Arabia today because Trump is over there?
What story specifically?
Oh, it's just about women in Saudi Arabia.
Did you see them holding the golden orb? The picture?
No,
of Trump
no.
I'll have to find that for you. I don't know. I don't even know what was going on in that picture. Let's see.
I like the story about how they're kissing his ass, like, you know,
well, you know why.
Steak with a little bit of ketchup on the side. I can't believe Trump put steak or ketchup on his steak.
I know.
Seems like kind of a, doesn't that a little bit of a snafu?
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. It kind of fits in a way.
Yeah, I would say.
Here's the orb picture. Donald Trump, Melania Trump, King Salman bin Abu Dhabi Al Saud, in the Egyptian president El-Sisi. Open the World Center for Countering Extremist Thought in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
The article was
pointing... Center of Countering Extremist Thought in Riyadh. Okay.
Kind of funny, the story was pointing out how many faux pas, how easy it would be to commit a serious faux pas on this trip because of all the countries Trump is going to.
This is the one thing I like about him is that he doesn't care if he makes these faux pas.
No, I don't think so.
Because they just want him to be tough on Iran anyway.
Yeah.
Ball's in his court.
But he's going, you know, he's going to, what, 5 countries in 9 days?
He's hitting all the major religions.
I'm kind of surprised that he has not traveled overseas that much in his life.
Oh, really?
Not really, no.
Well,
I mean, he goes to Scotland. He's got the golf course. But, I mean, just for a guy of his stature, business-wise.
Yeah, well.
It sounds like he sends people over there a lot.
What's her face goes to, like, she was in Azerbaijan. Yeah. Whenever they're opening a new Trump Tower.
Anyway, it's funny. You know, I've always heard this about Saudi Arabia, but when you see it in print, it just is a little more, you know, as far as women, mm-hmm. that they just can't do shit without the permission of their father, husband. If their husband dies, their oldest son tells them if they can fly places.
Oh, nice.
If they can go abroad, they can travel abroad, if they can get a passport.
Stupid.
They have the legal status of minors.
What?
Yeah. Saudi Arabia's ban on driving is what often grabs the most attention, but rights advocates say guardianship laws are the factor that most powerfully enshrines inequality for women. Guardianship is a major reason for the outrage when Saudi Arabia was elected last month to a UN commission tasked with promoting gender equality and women's empowerment.
Well, did you see the ABC story when, I think it must have been the same one because we're talking about the two entrances for McDonald's.
Yeah, yes.
And I can't remember who was doing that story, but she's at a press conference. How freaked out were the people in Saudi Arabia when this woman in the press conference goes, Mr. President, are you going to talk about human rights?
Oh, yeah.
A woman speaking up and yelling at the president? That must have blown their minds.
This 96-year-old woman, Naila Mohammed Saleh Nassif, an outspoken 96-year-old, finds it frustrating and humorous that her son has been her guardian the past 3 decades. I need his permission for everything. I need his permission for everything. My son, who I gave birth to and raised and made a man, does this make sense? Her father worked in the finance industry, and her husband, a doctor who at one time served as health minister, were both open-minded and gave her freedom of choice, she said. How nice of them. She raised her sons and daughters as equals, breaking with another cultural norm. She's never worn the blackface veil known as the niqab, which most Saudi women do.
What a rebel.
Since her father and husband's death, her eldest son has also been accommodating. In one case, in her 60s, she went to fly to the U.S., but she'd forgotten the piece of paper from her son granting her permission. Her brother, children, son-in-law, and grandchildren were all flying with her, but not her son. So the airport officials barred her from boarding the plane. She and 18 relatives had to wait for 5 hours for someone to bring the document to the airport.
Couldn't she just forge it?
Nowadays, guardians can travel. Oh, guardians can give travel permission electronically.
Oh boy,
I felt I wasn't human. She said. System leaves women dependent on the goodwill of their male relatives, fathers, husbands, or sons. They have to kiss their sons' asses.
Nice country.
Women have complained of being abused, forced to hand over salaries to their guardians, barred from marriage, or forced into unwanted marriages. Women who flee abusive homes can be imprisoned or put in a shelter requiring the consent of her guardian to leave. Sheesh. Yeah. That's funny.
Well, you know, they have a lot of money and some oil, and strategically they less have air bases there. So,
well, yeah, if you've got cool. if you have the
Everything's
money.
Cool.
Did you see the Ashley Graham story today?
No.
All I'd see was the headline to get pissed.
Do not call Ashley Graham plus size. Roar! Inclusivity used in fashion modeling, not yet in making clothes, she says. Oh, okay. Well, what are we supposed to call it?
Let's see. She may have curves, but she hates
Vente?
The term plus size. Vente-sized. Does anyone really just come in and say, I'm a plus-size woman? Maybe it's a defense mechanism, or maybe it's a way to cope with fitting in society.
I just think it's divisive. I think labeling and putting a name on women in certain categories because of a size number inside of their pants isn't really getting us any further in life. All right, let's make it gender inclusive. We'll just call everyone husky.
There you go. Can Ashley
Graham
just...
Or big and tall. Why don't we just make it a big and tall store?
Can she just pipe down for a couple days, maybe? I'm just tired of telling me what to do all the time.
Nope.
Do not call Ashley Graham plus size. Roar!
Does that mean we have to not call her plus size? Do we still have the freedom to call her plus size?
Yeah,
or is this, is this a binding statement?
You can call her whatever you want, but you're going to yell that by her.
I feel like she's about to yell at me right now.
Her antennae is up.
Plus, plus, plus size? Is that better?
Jay!
Sorry.
Plus, minus?
And this idea that everyone is going to speak the same, no one's ever going to say anything that puts someone in possibly a bad light. I'm sorry, we're just not going to be robots, no matter how nice it would be.
Well, just wait. Those robots are taking over.
That's right. I forgot about that. All right. Well, I think it's time to wrap things up here in the DealsInTheD.com studios. You want to take us out, Jay?
Yeah, a lot going on tonight.
Yeah, Billboard Awards.
Twin Peaks.
Oh, the Twin Peaks. That's right.
So pumped.
I wasn't a huge Twin Peaks fan. I just can't believe after 25 years there's all this interest in it.
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I might even watch
it. It's really the first.
What time is it on?
I think it's on from 9 to 11. They're doing the first two episodes tonight.
And I'm sure, the Twin Peaks people are just gaga, right?
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
A bunch of losers.
Well,
nuts over a TV show.
It was a huge show. I mean, it was more of a cult show, but people that loved it loved it.
Like, I love The Leftovers, and I'm pumped for tonight's episode, but even that is taking a back seat.
I got to just realize something. I got to make sure Mike Clark knows about that. He loved Twin Peaks,
he did.
Didn't he?
Yeah.
He didn't say a word about it. I talked to him yesterday.
Yeah, Showtime.
Showtime?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I'll pass it along. Okay, we'll be back with Trudy News tomorrow. Maz on Tuesday, Brandon and Trudy again on Thursday. Have a great Monday, everybody. We'll see ya.